about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
Dear God, not again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My balls itch so much. They really, really itch a lot. My balls, they itch so much. They really, really itch so much.
Hey, when you get a second, stop looking at my boobs.
Man, you'd think the quality would dip after 5,500 shows. But da!
Well, the FCC isn't laughing.
Okay, that is my most shameful, painful, private secret. Okay? And it might sound like a joke, but it is not f***ing funny to me.
And now, do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008 to provide a pony for every American?
Yes, I do, sir.
Our feature presentation.
I'd like to say for the record that I'm very disappointed that Mr. Vermin Supreme is not getting more traction for the presidential election this year.
Well, I would like a pony.
I would like a pony, too.
Wouldn't that be the best?
He's my candidate. I don't know why everybody's talking about Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama when Vernon Supreme is out there promising ponies.
What does a man have to do?
What does a man have to do, indeed? Hey, party people, welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. Is it still a billion down there, by the way, Leeson?
Yeah, well, it was only a half a billion yesterday, but now going to climb up to a billion for the next few days.
Is there, I'm not trying to get in any kind of political discussion here, but is there anything to this global warming thing that it gets hotter every single year?
Well, I don't know how it works exactly, but I think in some places it gets wetter, in some places it's drier, in some places it's hotter and colder. It works differently all over, but...
And you drew hot. That's what you got. You got hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just every time you see these surveys that come out, they go, you know, 9 out of the last 10 years are the hottest years ever recorded. You have to go, wow, there's definitely something going on. You've had a lot of days over 100 this year.
I can't remember the exact temperature. Somewhere in the Mideast that they just recorded like 140-something. You pay attention to this, Bean. Yeah, and they had... they actually said that the record earlier was disputed because they used a new thermometer and the guy that normally does it was sick, and so they can't really rely on that. So this is the new highest temperature ever anywhere.
Wow, I got to look that up. I saw the headlines for that. I just didn't read it. But there's a new highest temperature ever, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strong.
I heard from the voices in my head that the government controls the weather.
Oh, really?
Well, it's because of the fluoride in your water, guys.
Right.
Oh, that's right, the fluoride.
Exactly. The fluoride. That's why. That's Jesse Ventura told us that.
Yeah.
All right, you don't get a choice today, Lisa, because I picked out a story especially for you that I think you're going to love. Here's an article on the Huffington Post, Bizarre Hollywood Beauty Secrets. And I think this is great, especially for you ladies out there, although some of them you'll hear are also being used by men. And especially, you know, this week, this is good to do this story because, you know, we may have listeners who are lucky enough to be going to the Emmys on Sunday and they want to look their very best on the red carpet.
Okay.
Of course, you've heard us talk about the bird poop facial.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently is becoming more popular all the time, also referred to as the geisha facial because of its Japanese origin. Several high-end spas are charging hundreds of dollars to pop, $100 a pop to slather on this unique ingredient, which is said to leave the skin shiny and smooth. Both Victoria and David Beckham reportedly indulge in the facials. They use a mixture of nightingale excrement, rice bran, and water. Bird poop facial.
Okay.
Are you in or out for that one,
I'm
by
out.
The way? You're out, okay. How about the synthetic snake venom?
Synthetic?
Yes.
Ooh,
apparently, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Freeze parts of your face,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. Gwyneth Paltrow, Katie Holmes, and Deborah Messing are all reportedly opting for a muscle-shocking synthetic snake venom product. It's called Cinake. It's an anti-aging treatment that acts kind of like Botox. It smooths out wrinkles, relaxes facial muscles. The theory is that when snakes attack, they paralyze their victims with the venom. And Swiss beauty chemists soon realized by copying the venom, they could have the same effects in humans.
I'm in.
All right, you're in for that one.
I'm in for that.
Vodka mouthwash.
Yes.
I got beer bug's attention.
We're talking.
When Listerine isn't cutting it anymore, some celebrities are turning to a mixture of vodka, mint springs, and lemon or cinnamon, says a Manhattan-based celebrity dentist, Jennifer Jablow. She works with several of the Victoria's Secret supermodels. Some patients are turning to this homemade concoction, believing that it freshens breath and prevents staining.
Hmm.
Vodka mouthwash.
All right.
Would not have figured that one out.
I would try that.
Fish pedicures. I'm sure you've heard about those by now, right?
That was Japanese too, right?
Yes, it was. This is where you dip your feet into a vat of fish, and then you just sit back as they eat the dead skin off of your feet. Jessica Simpson is using that one. Angelina Jolie told Vanity Fair last year that she sends her sons for the foot bath.
Huh.
So she's using it for her kids.
Okay.
Preparation H, apparently not being used the way you think. It really works. Of course, for years, people have been dabbing it under their eyes to depuff. Right, to depuff under their eyes and firm and tighten up their skin.
This is something new?
This is something new. Sandra Bullock is using it along with Rose McGowan, Emmanuel Shrieky. One of the ways that they're using it is... I take it back. This preparation... This one is just used for...
Under your eyes? Okay.
But there are... there's something else that's called Earthworm Poop Wrinkle Cream.
What is with the poop?
I don't know.
The poop in the face. I don't understand.
They do seem to like that, don't they? Product purports to reverse the aging process and even cure skin conditions like psoriasis and eczema. Earthworm poop wrinkle cream.
That sounds like a miracle.
Somebody's job is out there to gather earthworm poop. Vajazzling, also on this article. We learned about that from actress Jennifer Love Hewitt, remember? This is where you apply the Swarovski crystals to your vajayjay.
Oh, okay.
It perks you up. It's a way to kind of dress up that area. And here's the one I was looking for when I was thinking of Preparation H. Weird uses for Botox. Apparently, there are several other ways to use Botox, which I did not know anything about. Apparently, you can put it on your pectoral muscles to give them a slight non-surgical boost. You can use Botox to prevent sweaty hands and to prevent a gummy smile if you show too much gum. This doctor says celebrities are very busy people. They can't afford a lot of downtime, so they look for non-invasive procedures that work just as well as surgery. You get Botox injected into those areas of your body in order to assist you with those.
They are, people with the chronic sweaty palms, Botox is kind of a miracle.
Really?
Yeah,
I've heard about that
before. And I'm not sure they do it under the arms. But yeah, I mean, there are people who you shake their hand and your hand just comes away wet and there's nothing they can do about it. And I don't know why, but the Botox does fix that.
And they certainly look surprised all the time at the same time, right?
That's true.
So they got that going for them. So there you go. There's some tips if you went out there and go out there and get some earthworm poop and put your feet in with some fish.
What to do today?
Got a bird to poop on you and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
God, this guy's a bummer.
Actually, not at all, because we have former Dodger Jeff Kent on the program today, who this season is a contestant on Survivor. And as Ralph was telling us yesterday, it's not a celebrity season. He just applied like everybody else, and he got in.
That's awesome.
And I wonder what kind of advantage he has being an ex-athlete and being, used to high-pressure situations and competitiveness and all of that. But we'll talk to Jeff coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The iPhone 5 finally available for purchase on Friday. Some people in New York City have been lined up since Monday already to buy it at the Apple store there. Is it worth waiting for? Is the iPhone 5 a can't-miss electronic device? We'll talk to our Channel 5 friend Rich DeMuro about that later on today. We've got comedian Anthony Jeselnik in studio with us today. Our old friend Dave Navarro, Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the Halloween show at the Wiltern this year. That's a band I can never get to get my finger on because they break up for long periods of time, and then they get back together, and you never know which Jane's Addiction show is going to be your last chance to see him. But right now, they seem to be going through a pretty good patch.
Okay.
So we'll talk to him about everything that's new with Jane's. He's also got a couple of solo records coming out. You walked in on your parents having sex is a phone topic we're going to attempt later on today.
And we apologize in advance. Ew.
Yes, we're going to put visuals in your mind, whether it happened to you or not, that you're never going to be able to forget. Also, we got more tickets. You can see Green Day at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. That's going to be happening on Monday. We got tickets for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And a brand new internet roundup, too. That's all straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock. I can't stress enough how cool this thing on Monday is going to be here at K-Rock Live. And the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock is Green Day. We'll hook you up to see the band up close and personal as they perform live for you. And you get a chance to ask them questions. Stryker will be moderating, and you'll get a copy of their new album, Uno, before it comes out as well. Your chance to win coming up again next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
How about that 18-inning Mariners-Orioles game last night? You stay up for all of that? It was only 5 hours and 44 minutes, Ralph.
Sorry, can't hear you. Cat's complaining off.
Cat's got a lot to say today.
Cat says go away. Would that be your
your personal definition of hell, a six-hour baseball game?
Oh, F's sake. Can't Is it still it. Going on? The season's still going on?
Yeah, there's still a couple weeks
it's
left.
It's fall now. It should stop. Like, when summer's over, it should stop. Whoever's ahead when summer's over wins. And then
World
let's just move on
October.
To real sports. Let's
World
go
Series
on to
is
real
October.
Sports.
You know
F
that.
Baseball.
5:54, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Can I get some cameras over here, Birma? Oh, yeah. Hey, help me out here. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some tickets to give away to the advanced K-Rock screening of Looper.
Yay!
Movie's going to be seen at the Sony Studios lot on Thursday, September the 27th. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Movies and theaters everywhere on the 28th. You'll see it a day before everybody else. And what a movie, too. A great cast. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, Paul Dano, Piper Perabo, Jeff Daniels. Come on!
Yeah, that's an incredible lineup.
It's a film where, in the future, the mob is using time travel technology to get rid of their enemies. Instead of whacking them there in 2072, they send them 30 years into the past, where assassins await, kill their victims, and dispose of the body, leaving no evidence of the crime. In 2072, where the mob is. So,
will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be there.
Glenda was killed.
She's not in the future. She's been killed. All's fine. All's well and good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays one of these loopers who's killing people, living the good life, making a good living, mm-hmm. doing his drugs, partying with his pretty girls. Until one day, the victim shows up on the special location where he kills people from the future. Boom, it's him. He's got to kill himself.
No.
Now what does he do? Because that dude, Bruce Willis, knows all of his little tricks and is able to get away from him, and he's hunting him down himself. Who knows him better than he does? Oh,
what happens,
on.
Ralph?
No, I don't know. At least I haven't seen it. Nah. But I can't wait. Looper's in theaters everywhere on the 28th. Oh, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay.
Lindsay Lohan was arrested this morning.
She was serious about not wanting Amanda Bynes to get all the press.
She upped one. She upped Amanda Bynes up one by hitting a pedestrian in downtown Manhattan.
No. Nice.
According to TMZ.com, Lindsay was pulling in to park her Porsche at the Dream Hotel in downtown New York City when, at a very low speed, she allegedly hit the knee of a dude who was in front of the hotel. This was shortly after midnight. Witnesses say one of Lindsay's passengers in the SUV got out and checked the vehicle for damage. Then Lindsay and her friends went inside the hotel. Someone called the police while she was inside. When she walked out of the hotel around 2:30 a.m., by the way, wherever she was headed, she was up to no good at 2:30 a.m. Because you know what I say, nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m. To which Kevin says, yeah, but good things always happen after 2 a.m.
Right, exactly.
The cops were there waiting for her and arrested her. Booked her for leaving the scene of an accident. It's just a misdemeanor. She was released with a desk appearance ticket, meaning she did not have to pay bail before release. They were told alcohol was not involved. The alleged victim was hospitalized. He was not knocked down or dragged, didn't have any visible injuries. Now, here's the thing. This arrest could absolutely trigger a probation violation in Lindsay's case. Because one of the conditions of that probation is she must obey all laws. Hitting someone with your car is not obeying the law.
And let me just add this. I know celebrities are not just like us in some cases. With the problems that Lindsay has had behind the wheel, why is she driving in Manhattan?
That was my thought, too.
I don't know.
It's called a taxi cab, right?
It is, to the best of my knowledge, called, yes, a taxi cab.
It just, she brings so much of this on herself.
I
don't
would
take
not
your Porsche
try to drive
New York.
There. Yeah.
Dude. What are you going to do when Amanda Bynes is stealing your act? You got to up the ante. You got to start taking out pedestrians.
Yeah.
Next season on Fox, Celebrity Death Race. Amanda Bynes behind the wheel of like a tricked out Charger with spikes coming out of it and everything. And Lindsay Lohan's like in a tank and they just take out as many people as they can.
Pay the girls Convicted whatever felons. They want. To live together on a new reality series.
Hell, that. How about celebrity boxing? I don't want to see them live together. I want to see them beat the snot out of each other. Sad news yesterday. Steve Sable, the guy behind NFL Films, passed away at his home in Moorestown, New Jersey. He was 69 years old. Steve's dad, Ed, was the guy who founded the company in 1962, but Steve was the brains behind the things that really defined NFL films. The slow-mo, the big announcer, played, of course, legendarily by the late John Facenda originally, the compilation of big plays. He was a great dude. I knew Steve and his family. They were just over the river from Philadelphia in Morristown, New Jersey.
No way. You knew them?
Yeah. My sister actually worked for Steve.
Wow.
He was a great guy and did a lot for the sport of football, because you got to remember, when he was cranking out those film packages, there was no videotape, there was no DVDs, there was no NFL Network. You didn't see recaps of the films. If you wanted to see footage of classic NFL films, you had to go to NFL Films, and really created his own brand of sports, and was one of the selling tools that made NFL popular in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Was the existence of those films, watching those compilations, watching those hits in slow-mo, sold that sport to a brand new generation of sports fans. And he was a really good guy. Passed away at 69 of brain cancer. So,
are they going to bury him in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field?
I'm guessing he'll probably be buried near his home in Morristown, New Jersey.
Just couldn't not do it, could you, Bean?
Just thought it might be appropriate.
You wouldn't be able to dig into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That would be impossible.
Because the ground would be frozen.
Right.
You'd have to wait until spring for it to thaw out. Well, it wouldn't be frozen then, would it?
Well, I'm just saying.
Dick. And don't worry about Liberty Ross. She is the estranged wife of Rupert Sanders. Remember him? He was the director of Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh,
sure.
Right. Thank
Who
you.
Ended up dipping his wick with Kristen Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
She is a beautiful model in her own right. People are speculating whether she's going to take him back or not. Well, she's not going to take him back until she's at her own fun, apparently. She was at an event in London the other night with an excellent-looking mystery man on her arm. They were hand-in-hand at the event and went to a place called the Groucho Club for cocktails and dancing after wherever they were. So no word on whether he was just a friend or whether what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Right, ladies? You
That's
with me?
Right. Yes,
That's
we
right.
are.
Okay, then. Stop it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Katrina Bowden. Bowden? Whatever her last name is. You know her from 30 Rock.
Sure.
She's smoking hot on that show.
Oh, yeah.
24 years old today. Danielle Panabaker from Friday the 13th. And Piranha 3DD is 25 years old. Jimmy Fallon turns 38 years old today. Sherry O'Terry, comedian from Saturday Night Live, is 50. Jeremy Irons, super talented actor, is 64. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actors Studio, is 86 years old. Did you know
no
he was that
way.
Old? He's a pretty sharp dude for 86.
It's amazing.
Wow. Speaking of sharp dudes, today is the day 82 years ago when magic happened in Seattle, Washington. A baby was born that would change the world as we know it. Adam West, ladies and gentlemen, was born on this date 82 years ago. Happy
what
birthday,
a scumbag.
Adam West. How dare you, sir? Adam West. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for being with us this morning early on a Wednesday on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Jeff Kent, former Dodger, he's on Survivor. He'll be joining us in about a half an hour. We got a brand new internet roundup for you. And, of course, more tickets for you to join us live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Green Day. First, though, at the very end of the show yesterday, Ralph Garman is doing the showbiz beat, and I asked kind of as a, just on a lark, I said, hey, it's Steve Jones, former legendary guitarist for the Sex Pistols, who works here at K-Rock Sunday nights from 7 to 9. Here he is with the showbiz beat, because
yes.
Ralph does great voices, as you guys know, and one of the ones that we've all been enjoying so much lately is his version of Steve Jones. He does a great Steve Jones. So he's doing the showbiz beat in the voice of Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols, and he's talking about the new releases, new albums that are coming out yesterday. Well, unbeknownst to all of us, Steve Jones is in the building and walks in the studio and sits down next to Ralph Garman and pulls up a microphone.
Oops.
So what you're about to hear is the showbiz beat. We're a little ways in, and about 30 seconds after Ralph starts as Steve Jones, the real Steve Jones walks in, and then it just goes off the rails, because then it's Dueling Jonesies, and we have no idea what to expect, but it was a very special and very fun moment for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we wanted you early morning listeners to have a chance to hear it too, so please enjoy.
Kanye West.
Yes, Kanye's got the good mixtape, right?
CD.
Right.
Called Good.
Good.
Music.
Music. Right.
: Cruel
summer.
Cruel summer. Okay. Cruel those are the new releases here today on the Kevin Show.
Right.
Thank you, Jonesy. Thank you.
We've got other things.
Thank you for doing that, but let's bring Ralph back in to finish up.
Pink. Pink is here. The real Steve Jones just walked in the studio. I don't know what to do now. Can we get a live mic here and a headset for Mr. Jones in case he has some comment he'd like to make about my showbiz report this morning?
This is embarrassing.
No, I haven't heard anything. I keep hearing that you mimic me.
I do a little bit of you. Yeah.
Is he good?
I don't know. Talk some more.
What should I say?
I don't know. What should you say?
What did you say last week?
The new releases of the new CDs because it's Tuesday.
You're going to make me talk like you now. Okay. Yeah, new releases, yeah.
Yeah, new releases for Tuesday.
Wait, who's who here? We got dueling Jonesies going on. What the hell's going on
kind
here?
Kind of amazing.
He's here recording a show, and he was down the hall, and so we were just talking about him, and then he came in and walked in and made me self-conscious.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I'm talking like you, and then you walk in, and you give me that look.
It's like magic. It's like magic.
It is like magic. You look at me, and now you're making me all self-conscious.
And now I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Okay. And you're looking back, and we're having a laugh.
We're both looking at each other.
And we're having a laugh.
Yeah, we are.
This is like a funhouse mirror is what this is. Listen, Steve, is it true that your phone was ringing off the hook from your manager a couple of weeks ago when Ralph was on our show being you?
Yeah, I was in bed. Mm-hmm. And I woke up about 9-ish, and there was about 20 phone calls from my manager. I'm like, something must be wrong. So as I'm dialing her back, she's calling me again. She's going, what's going on? Are you on the Kevin and Bean show? You getting loaded? Are you high? What's happening? She was all worried that I was drinking and using again.
No.
Was you doing something that I was...
No, I think...
He was just slow.
I think the guys were commenting that maybe I seemed a little bit out of it as Steve Jones, so maybe she was speculating perhaps that was the reason behind it. I was just having a little fun, that's all.
You know what? Having a laugh.
Having a laugh.
You're having a laugh.
But the truth is, Steve, and this is God's honest truth.
Wait, there's a lesson going on here.
Steve's teaching me how to do...
Go on, say it.
Oh, we're having a laugh.
I was having a laugh.
One more time.
I was having a laugh. See, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We were talking, and this is the God's honest truth. We'd never say anything behind your back that we wouldn't say to your face. We were saying how refreshing your Sunday night program is on K-Rock at 7-9 because you're not confined. You've got the luxury of time. You're not confined by the clock like we are, where we're always, we know we've got to be done in a minute. You know what I mean? And that's so refreshing these days on the radio. You don't hear that on very many shows.
Yeah, no, I love doing it on Sunday night. Play, bring my own CDs in and play new music. I love doing it. It's great.
Oh, it's a great show.
But our favorite part, we were saying, is when you tell a story, because you do have all the time in the world to sort of leisurely have a conversation with Kurt, and you guys just have a good time on Sunday nights. It's very pleasant.
Is it good to listen to?
It is. It's a great lesson.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're lucky to have you, Steve. That's the truth.
Does Kevin Weverly like it?
No. He hates it. No, he's not a fan.
Our boss hates it if anyone's talking on the radio ever. He doesn't want the microphone to be
all
open.
All music all the time.
One more thing, and I'm only brave enough to do this because I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You brought up on the show that you had sex with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And that was a shocker to all of us, I think, because we just don't think of her running in the same circles as the legendary Sex Pistols Steve Jones. How did that happen?
Well, it was before she was famous. I used to hang out with Mickey Rourke. We used to ride motorbikes in like the early 90s. And she was just hanging out in this shop that Mickey Rourke had in Beverly Hills. It was like a coffee shop thing. And, there was no one wore helmets. I looked like an Adonis at the time. Fabio kind of looked. I had long hair and I was in good shape. And I used to get a lot of females back then.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
And she was just one of many.
And it just at the time you didn't know this is going to be memorable one day, but then a couple of years later she's a big movie star. She's in The Mask and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I shagged her, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what, I didn't shag her. Did the other thing.
Oh, the other thing.
Right. I see, okay.
The thing before the shagging.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not mad at that.
It still counts.
It still counts.
Yeah.
Still a W in the W column. That's how I look at it.
Have you written your book yet, Steve?
No, not yet.
Oh, you got it.
You got to.
don't take these stories to your grave, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
Share them with the world.
I know. I should
do it. You've had an extraordinary life.
I should do it before I have a heart attack.
Or just tune in on Sundays, and Steve will tell them one at a time.
Yeah. Chapter by chapter.
That's right. You'll hear all the stories.
There's a lot more of celebrity concubines.
Oh.
Well, that night that I was listening, you mentioned Joan Jett. You believe that you're the one who turned her lesbian, right?
I did. I think so.
You were the last man she was ever with, as far as
Does
you know.
Does that mean she could never get any better than you, so she decided to give up on men, or she was so repelled by the experience
so disappointed,
that she
wanted
to play for the other team?
Either way, I don't care.
The scariest one for me, though, was Nancy Spungen.
Yeah.
That's just dangerous. That's STD roulette right there, man.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Right.
But when you're 20, you don't really think about things like that. Well, I didn't anyway.
No, any port in a storm, as they say.
Yes.
At that age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You dodged a bullet there, man, in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right with the old drug thing, yeah.
That didn't go well.
Yeah.
Good All times.
Right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Steve.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Thanks for the loving around here.
Thanks for not being upset that I'm having a little fun.
I love it, man. You can do it all day long.
All right.
We don't have that kind of time.
You know, they said, Jones is here. Have you talked to him? I said, no. What if he's just being nice on the air, but really secretly he hates the fact that I do an impression of him? I don't want to be headbutted like a soccer hooligan or something.
Hey, man, if anyone's doing an impression of you, that's a sign of success.
That's true. It is a compliment.
You know, that's
and I just want you to know, it is completely coming from love and admiration. We're in no way making fun of you.
I get it. So I think it's great. Carry on.
Jonesy's Jukebox, Sunday nights, 7 to 9.
Thank you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Right here on the World Famous Rock. Thank you, Steve.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
That was pretty exciting.
That was awesome. Yeah. Ralph, your face when he walked in, you're like, uh-oh.
Well,
Ish. What the hell?
I'm
a huge Sex Pistols fan. I've never met the man. And to meet him on the air while I'm doing an impression of him was risky business.
You don't know if he's there with a knife or what's going on, right?
Yeah, I'm just glad he's calm and clean and sober these days.
He's the coolest.
He's just the coolest. Yeah.
Thank you very much to Jonesy for stopping by here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed that. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. It's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
You could really spend the rest of your life on YouTube and not see all the awesome stuff that's out there. There's so many great videos, thousands and thousands and thousands of videos that come out every day. It's impossible to keep up with all the best ones, but we do the best we can with the Internet Roundup that we post to kevinandbean.com about once a week or so. Here's a perfect example. This is just a fan that did this who decided he was going to do his own mashup, and he took the Homecoming song from Kanye West with Chris Martin from Coldplay on it, and he mashed it together with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together Again by Taylor Swift. Now, who would ever think of that?
That's
right?
A great idea, though.
I mean, I know that Kanye and Taylor, they have that history from the MTV show, but who would ever think of putting their songs together? And it's amazing. And this is one of the videos you'll find on the brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
'Cause I'm coming home again.
Ow!
I met this girl when I was 3 years old, and what I love most, she had so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is Wendy.
It sounds great, too. Really fantastic job. Speaking of music, Ben Folds 5 is back, their first album as a band together in 13 years, and they have done a great video that was Chris Hardwick, our friend Chris Hardwick's idea, to put the Ben Folds 5 together with Fraggle Rock. And they are all together in this video, and it is awesome, and they're singing this song.
Might put your love and trust on the line. It's risky. People love to tear that down. Let them try. Do it anyway. Risk it anyway.
Just hilarious to see the Fraggle Rock characters climbing all over their instruments while they're playing. It's so awesome to have them back because they haven't done anything in a long, long time.
Yeah.
NFL season is in full swing now. This guy did a video. It's the same guy throughout the whole video, just wearing a different jersey for every line he says. He is playing the part of every NFL fan ever.
Hey, we own our own team, and my son's middle name is Rogers Lombardi Favre. I've never even been to Dallas. Hey, you guys remember 1984? God, McMahon is good. It's not racist. It's a tribute to a proud people. Of course I love the Steelers. There is nothing else to do in Western Pennsylvania.
See, he's a Cowboys fan, and he's a Steelers fan, and he's a Redskins fan. Very well done. Every NFL fan ever on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Here's one of the coolest official videos I've ever seen. This is from UFC. They did a video. It's kind of a mashup of a whole bunch of movies reacting to Dana White canceling UFC 151. He's on the – remember when that fight got canceled a couple of weeks ago? He's on the phone on his end announcing that the film is going to be canceled or the fight is going to be canceled. And then they have edits of all sorts of people reacting to it, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off to Jerry Maguire to Anchorman to the cast of Entourage. And it's awesome.
Hi, Dana.
Thank you for taking the time to call in this morning. For the first time in 11 years, we're going to cancel an event.
Get the f*** out of here.
Damn it.
So well done. Everyone's talking about the iPhone 5. There's always a ton of parody Apple commercials, including this one talking about the new phone.
The iPhone 5 is the thickest and heaviest iPhone we've ever made.
Just with you.
Of course we made it thinner and lighter. 18% thinner, 20% lighter, blah, blah, blah. Are people still impressed by this?
Mm-hmm.
See, Apple fans will buy anything. We don't care. Whatever you say about it, we're still going to buy it. That's it's got a number on it. Gangnam Style, the hottest viral video in the world, of course, by Korean rapper Psy. There's about a billion parodies of that song. Here's the first one that I've seen that is Adolf Hitler doing the Gangnam Style. So good. So good. Who knew Hitler could get down like that? Well done. All right. Here's a video you have to see on the Internet Roundup. This guy is a tool. He's one of these guys who doesn't – he claims he's not a citizen of the United States. Your laws don't affect me. I don't have to give you my last name. I'm filming everything to make sure that I don't get abused and violated in my civil rights. He's trying to walk into a courtroom with a camera. And the security guys are standing at the doorway saying, you're welcome to come in. You can't bring a camera in. That's our rules. He won't have any of it. They end up tasing him. And there's a little bit of controversy now on whether he deserved it or not. I say he deserved to be tased about 5 minutes before he was. But here's that special moment.
Well, why are you worried about cameras? Because you want to do something wrong? Because you want to do something wrong? Because if it's against the rules, that means it's because somebody intends on wronging somebody else. Because they're afraid of being held accountable. P. Barnes.
It's a nice speech, but you're still not coming in.
Please step aside. I'm going in.
No, you're not going in.
Don't touch me.
You're not going in, sir.
Let the record show that you just battered me.
Step back.
And you're using...
Stop, please.
Oh, my God.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Except being a dick.
That's
you got to see that video. It's awesome. And here's one more on this week's Internet Roundup. This is a compilation. It's so well done of 30 years of funny answers from the TV quiz show The Family Feud. All the way, all the hosts are on it. You know, Steve Harvey and Richard Dawson, all the hosts asking questions and some of the crazy answers that people have come up with. Here's a taste of that.
Tell me the man's name that starts with the letter K.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
During what month of pregnancy does a woman begin to look pregnant?
September.
Name a place on your body that a doctor might look in with a little flashlight.
But.
Term that means wife.
Bitch.
So you get an idea how that going. Plus a brand new Jimmy Kimmel This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. All these videos available for you on a Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Congratulations to Lonnie Kayson from Long Beach. Just won tickets to join us Monday here at K-Rock, live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. The band Green Day is going to be performing. Tiny Room, huge band. That's how we do. Plus, she's also won a copy of Green Day's new album called Uno. Your chance to win coming up every hour this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Been a while since I heard that sound. Lisa May, did you know that Survivor has had 25 seasons?
I had no idea. Did you know that this is the first season I intend to watch in about 5 seasons?
Really? How come? Why this
time? It just sounds really interesting. The cast sounds very interesting. They're bringing back some people I know from before. I'm kind of intrigued.
Well, they're in the Philippines, and there's one young man who's watched every season of Survivor and said, hey, I can do that, and now he has a chance to prove it. We are talking about Jeff Kent, former Dodger and Giant great, now retired from the MLB, and he is going to be one of the contestants on the season premiere tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bane. Good to talk to you, buddy.
great to have you on, too. As I said when I brought John, we all have watched Survivor and thought, oh, dude, I could totally do that. I would so win this show if I was on. But very few of us get a chance to prove it. How long have you wanted to be on Survivor?
You know, probably from the first episode. I sat there, you know, being a couch potato like everybody else watching the show and figuring out that, hell, I think I can do that. That's not that hard. And finally had an opportunity now that I'm retired to go out there and, you know, show my underwear and see if I can do this thing.
It doesn't and look at all hard to you starving and trying to do stuff?
It was, you know, it's real. And I think that's what's, you know, great about the show itself is everything was real. There's no do-overs. There's no, hey, cut, time out. Can I have a candy bar? There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real, and it's a pretty neat show.
How do you keep up? I've always wanted to ask this question. How do you keep up with the shows that you want to watch when you're playing baseball in a different city every night? How do you even, I mean, you just fill up your DVR, and then when you finally get home for the homestand, you watch 80 hours of television in a row?
Well, Bean, you've been around for a long time, man. I was listening to you when I was a kid, so we didn't have DVR. It was like trying to set up the VCR to tape your shows on VHS tape, you know, when you started a long time ago. But now it's DVR, and now it's, heck, you just go on the Internet and watch a show. So, you know, baseball during the baseball seasons, absolutely. I'd load that DVR up and watch all these shows.
I know everybody has asked you this question, Jeff, but our listeners are dying to know. When you walked in there and met all of your competitors, the people on your team and the people that you're going to be working against, you probably can't say how many of them recognized you, but was your goal to go under the radar and hope that you would not be known as a celebrity?
Well, you know, my goal, twofold, I had a goal. It was going in thinking first thing I needed to do was adjust and adapt to anything that came my way. And watching Jimmy Johnson a couple seasons back play on the show and kind of get booted early, you know, a lot of it had to do with him being a celebrity and already being a rich guy or assumed rich guy and him getting kicked out. I don't know if that was going to be the play or not going into the show. So, you know, I'm kind of a twofold guy. As I played ball, sure, but then now when I'm retired, I also have a second life. And, you know, part of me wanted to play off that second life because it was more normal. It wasn't a celebrity. It wasn't extreme. So I was prepared either way, and you'll have to watch. But, you know, if it were to unfold, how was I going to react? So, you know,
sure.
Socially I needed to be prepared or I would get my, you know, butt kicked off early.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages you have with the career that you had for all those years, 17 years, I guess, in the major leagues, is that you are built to anticipate. I mean, especially as a second baseman, that's your job, is to figure out every possible scenario that's coming your way in the next 5 seconds. And what am I going to do if A happens? What am I going to do if B happens? Sounds like you've managed to translate that into real-world skills, too.
Yeah, well, physically, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. You know, I think that the show is absolutely fair for, you know, the little guy or the big guy, the big girl. It doesn't matter. You know, I think it's fair that way socially. You know, how do you adapt? And for, you know, 17 plus years, I played in big league scenarios and locker rooms with 30 guys, all on the competitive edge of being nasty and nice and mean and dirty. And so I was able to socially network with all these different players throughout my years, and I was hoping to use those skills if I needed them on the show.
Look, if you can get along with Barry Bonds, you can get along with anybody. That's what I've always said. Let me ask you about a couple of the other contestants on this season of Survivor. If you're just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're talking to Jeff Kent. Yes, the former Dodger. He's going to be one of the participants on Survivor when it debuts tonight on Channel 2. You have a former Miss Delaware and also a Miss Teen USA from Utah. Both look really hot. Which one is more annoying?
I'll have to let that drama play out on TV, but, you know, that was a challenge in itself, Bean, was trying to tell the wife, hey, I'm going to go hang out with a bunch of good-looking, half-naked girls on the beach for about 7 weeks. Can you deal with it? And that was a challenge.
You've watched every season of Survivor, Jeff. Have there been a lot of hookups among the contestants throughout the years?
Not a whole lot. I think, you know, whether they've happened under camera's eyes or not, I know there's been a few. I wasn't there to do that for sure, but...
No, of course not. Of course not. But you're starving and you're filthy, so that's not the sexiest thing in the world, right?
No. Let me tell you. That was gross. You know, watching these people develop, you know, not take showers, not brush their teeth, and
yeah.
Hair not being washed, and then, you know, them get involved emotionally and physically, you know, I'm thinking, I'm past that. And I don't, some of these kids doing that, it was beyond me.
Yeah. Well, I think there's only two contestants from California on Survivor starting tonight. So you're going to have an awful lot of people rooting for you here in the Golden State. That's for sure. And I know you can't say too much about what happens. As you said, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But was it a positive experience? Did you have fun? Was it everything you hoped it would be all these years that you wanted to be on the show, Jeff?
Yeah, it was. You know, and I, you know, what was scary about it, Bean, was going in and thinking that they were going to manipulate the show and kind of stage it, and it wasn't the case. I mean, it's real. You know, you go with the clothes on your back, and that's all you get. And you know, so I was happy about that. Glad I had the chance. You know, whether I do it again or not, you know, I'd have to scratch my head. But it was fun enough to think about that I absolutely, you know, appreciated the opportunity.
Super fun. Season premiere of Survivor tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. Jeff Canada, real pleasure to have you on, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
On KROQ Plus, we'll talk to Channel 5's tech reporter about the new iPhone 5. Should you buy it? Can you buy it? I hear this thing is backordered for weeks already, so we'll find out all the details on that on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
I need a phone now!
No wonder they hate us. People lining up to buy the newest phone.
Yeah,
we're not lining up for bread or medicine for our kids. It's because we want to upgrade our iPhones.
This country's still trying to pick which hand to wipe their asses with, for God's sakes. Oh, yeah. We're lucky. We're lucky people in America. Most of us are. Some of us aren't. Like Amanda Bynes. She's not lucky. She's crazy.
Yeah.
Great news story coming out of West Hollywood that Amanda Bynes locked herself in a dressing room for 2 hours Monday. She was at a boutique in West Hollywood, locked herself in the dressing room. There were loud clanging sounds coming from inside the dressing room.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
I want her to go into the dressing room and then come out after loud clanging sounds in a full suit of armor. That's in my mind how the punchline works. But the poor employee needed to call in backup. Called in staff members, another owner of the store. She finally came out after going in around 3:30, about 5:30, purchased a pair of stiletto heels, sunglasses, and a bikini top, and left the store. So, see, that's the sound coming out of the dressing room. You see, like, smoke and, like, there's, like, a blacksmith anvil in there, and she's hammering stuff, and then she comes out in a suit of armor. That would just be funny. Really? You're in the dressing room for 2 hours? Ha! I'll see your dressing room shenanigans and raise you a pedestrian running over.
Yay!
Lindsay Lohan in her constant battle to maintain at the top of the hot mess heap. She's intimidated by that Amanda Bynes. She stepped up her game. Yesterday in New York City, she clipped a pedestrian driving her Porsche in downtown New York City. She was pulling into park at the Dream Hotel where she was staying and, allegedly hit the knee of a 30-year-old dude standing, I guess, on the curb or perhaps even in the road anyway. She got out. Passengers got out with her. They checked the SUV she was driving, the Porsche Cayenne, for damage. Then went inside the hotel. Someone called the police while Lindsay was inside. And when she walked out, the officers were there waiting for her. And they arrested her for allegedly fleeing an accident scene. That's a misdemeanor, yet could certainly be enough for Judge Stephanie Sautner here in L.A. to haul her back into court and trigger a probation violation.
Wow.
Look, I know that I keep trying to use logic to understand these stories.
Right, stop.
But if I know I'm on probation, and I know that if I'm get in any kind of trouble at all, I might go back to jail, maybe I don't walk away from the scene of an accident. Maybe I go ahead and just say, to play it safe, I'm going to wait till the police arrive to make sure I'm cleared to go.
Yes.
Maybe that's what I do.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I would also suggest, though, we've heard the story before, haven't we? Wasn't the manager of the Hookah Lounge also mysteriously struck in the knee by Lindsay? And
yes.
Once he realized who it was, suddenly he was, oh, ow, I have to go to the hospital. Help me, help me.
Do you think people are just falling in front of her car now?
Look, who knows?
It could be.
A payday's a payday, and people are not good. Yeah. So
These photographers that she hits, I think they deserve it. I think leave them in the street bleeding because they're the ones who are crawling over her car and making it impossible for her to drive.
But price of doing business.
If he's just a pedestrian, you know, I don't know. Who knows? We have no idea what happened.
Guy wasn't a photographer. He said he was just standing there. She was making a three-point turn or something and nicked his knee. He was fine. And then someone said, you know, that's Lindsay Lohan in that car. And he went, ow!
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did I say fine? I meant
dying. I meant dying.
Finally going to the hospital because I'm really hurt. So, who knows? We'll have to wait and see the details. Now we know. Now we know why Blake Lively married Ryan Reynolds.
Why?
It's not the abs. It's not the wavy head of full luxurious hair. It's not the sparkling white teeth.
No?
No. It's the $2 million diamond wedding ring he gave her.
Yes.
According to a ring and diamond expert, the pink diamond given to Blake by Lively as the diamond wedding ring is about 12 carats and worth approximately $2 million.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Yes, it really is. And that's what he presented to her at the altar.
Yeah, those pink diamonds are hard to find and way more expensive than regular diamonds.
I don't know anything about the pink diamonds. Bean does. So.
He's going to make this one stick, people.
Take that for what it's worth. So. And while we're in the Money Can't Buy Me Love section of the Showbiz Beat, Kanye West has announced he is throwing a wild bash for his girlfriend, porn star Kim Kardashian's 32nd birthday.
Well, that's the big one, 32.
32, yeah, you got to throw her a special party for that. He said the celebration will be fit for a queen or an amateur porn star. He's pulling out all the stops. The shindig will be at the Pine Cay, which is a private island in Turks and Caicos. Caicos?
Nice.
It's a five-star resort. He is flying in a five-star chef to cook for the event. He has purchased her lots of new clothes, apparently, for the party, and even commissioned Prada to design a unique, one-of-a-kind purse with a KK print to it.
Oh, my God.
Aww.
It is going to cost over $1 million for this party.
If that doesn't say love.
That is love, Lisa.
I don't know what does.
A man spends $1 million on you.
Yep.
That means he loves you.
Yes.
Let's see if Kim is grateful.
You don't think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out? I wasted everyone's time.
Yeah.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad?
No,
at 30 years old, I thought I'd be married with kids, and I'm not. And I failed at this, and you think that I don't feel bad?
Well, you got a new Prada purse out of the deal. You're fine.
Moving on. Today's celebrity birthday is James Lipton, host of Inside the Actors Studio, 86 years old today. Jeremy Irons is 64. Jimmy Fallon is 38 years old. Danielle Panabaker from Friday the 13th and Piranha 3D is 25. Katrina Bowden from 30 Rock and also Piranha 3 Double D is 24 years old today. And the reason we celebrate the day, not only is it Talk Like a Pirate Day, by the way, people.
We should, oh, is it really?
We
wow,
sure
that
dropped
escaped
that,
me
we
this
sure
year.
Dropped that like a hot rock,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Well, we did it for a few years.
By the way, here's just a little personal side. Not getting this is not a paid endorsement, but I want to give you a heads up. The good folks at Krispy Kreme Donuts, in order to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day, if you walk into any Krispy Kreme donut that's participating here in Southern California and you talk like a pirate, they will give you a free glazed donut.
That's a great
dress deal. Like a pirate.
Yes.
Free dozen donuts.
What?
Wow. How do you like that now?
That's amazing.
Give me my donuts. Yeah, not only is it Talk Like a Pirate Day today, but it also is TV Batman's Adam West's birthday today.
He's 82 Adam years West! Old.
Yes. And by the way, if you want to hear a really good interview with Adam, you can go to Kevin Smith's smodcast.com. He's got a website, a podcast that he does on a weekly basis now called Fat Man on Batman, where he just talks to people involved with the Batman legacy. And he talks to Adam West this week, and it's very entertaining. You want to check
Who's Adam West?
No, stop it! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know, not just the best Beastie Boys song, maybe one of the best songs of all time right there on the Kevin and Bean Show here at the world-famous K-Rock Wednesday morning. Don't forget on Monday, live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock, Green Day going to be performing live for you. We got a chance for you to win your way in coming up again later this hour, plus a copy of their new album, Uno. Lisa, you were saying you're interested in hearing about this iPhone 5.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I need a new phone.
And you're not the you're not one of the Apple cult members like so many of us are.
I am for everything but phones.
Well, it may be time to get on board. Apple sold over 2 million iPhone 5s in the first 24 hours that the phones were available for pre-sale. They go on sale. You can pick them up starting Friday. We understand there are some people in New York City who have been lined up since Monday to buy these phones. That may be a little bit extreme.
Crazy.
Rich DeMuro joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is the tech reporter for our friends over at KTLA Channel 5. Hey, Rich, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, Bean. Good morning, Lisa May. I always wanted to say that.
Oh, well, thank you. Good morning.
Have you held the mysterious iPhone 5 in your own hand yet, Rich?
I have held the mysterious iPhone 5. I was one of the few people that got to go up to the Apple event up in San Francisco last week. We got a couple of minutes of hands-on time with it. But let me tell you, this thing is beautiful. They have outdone themselves on the design on this one.
Really? Now, I got so many questions for you in the limited time we have. First off, are we now seeing technology that was developed after Steve Jobs died, or does this still have Steve's fingerprints all over it, like he was already involved in this version of the phone, do you think?
I think definitely Steve was involved in this version of the phone, because these things definitely have a couple years time where they look at them, where they study them, and they figure out what features are going to be in them next. And when you look at something like the actual tech specs of the phone, it's not stuff that we're not seeing in other phones already. So this is technology that's been out there. But the way Apple does it, they just do it the best. They just make it beautiful, and they make this phone, it's thin, it's light, it's fast. I mean, they've really outdone themselves on this. And when you see it, I mean, you've already had 2 million people have pre-ordered this thing before they even got their hands on it. You have people lining up around the country already to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to drop $200-$300 on this thing without even seeing it. I mean, that just shows you how powerful this device is.
Well, people have not been disappointed with previous versions of the phone. I mean, there's always something new. Now, the buzz when the last phone came out, the 4S, was Siri. That was the game changer. Is there anything like that that's a big talking point for the iPhone 5?
I think the LTE, 4G LTE is the big game changer on this phone. That means that everything you do on this phone is going to be way faster than what you've ever experienced on an iPhone. So when you're out and about, you know, if you're not even in a Wi-Fi area, you're going to be able to download things fast. You're going to be able to surf the web fast, upload to Facebook. And these networks have really not been used in a big way. I mean, Android phones have the LTE on them, but now that the iPhone, which is the most popular phone out there, has it, it's really going to give these networks a run for their money come Friday.
Interesting. Now, this is the first time I can remember in an iPhone announcement, Rich, where they made a big deal about the phone being bigger in some respect. It's a larger screen, right?
Yeah, so the basic newness of this phone, it's got a larger screen, it's got a 4-inch screen. This is the first time Apple's ever made the screen on their phone bigger. It's been a 3.5-inch screen since day one. But here's the neat thing about what they did, because we've seen a million phones that come out that have a huge screen. The tough thing is they're really big in your hand, and they're kind of tough to maneuver. It takes a little bit of time to get used to, like, the bigger screen. This one still feels the exact same way in your hand because it's the same width, it's just taller. So when you actually try to put your thumb on it to use it with one hand, it works pretty well. You'll notice you'll get one extra row of icons. So if you're like me, you've figured out exactly the icons you want on your home screen. Well, guess what? Your OCD is going to kick in. You're going to figure out all the new apps on there.
Rich, as a tech reporter, as a guy who spends all day working in this field, I'm dying to know, how many apps do you have on your phone?
I've probably downloaded hundreds of apps. I keep maybe about 100 on there at any given time. But here's the deal. I download apps all day long because I'm testing them out both on Android and iPhone. So the core apps that I use are pretty much the basic apps that everyone uses on a daily basis. But, you know, I'm literally trying out new apps probably 3 to 4 times a day. And sometimes, you know, you've got to go through that sign-up process. So it's definitely a lot to try these things out, but it's a lot of fun as well.
Talking to Rich DeMuro on the phone from Channel 5. He's their tech reporter, always does great stuff for us, talking about the iPhone 5. Let me ask you about this. What's it called? Is it Lightning? Is it Thunderbolt? Which one am I thinking of? This new cable that they're introducing for the iPhone 5. And that is some people are already complaining, hey, wait, now do I have to go out and replace all of my cables if I want to sync it up with my laptop or if I want to plug it into my, you know, to my radio? What's the deal on this?
Yeah, between Thunderbolt and Lightning, you'd think that they have a bunch of meteorologists working over there at Apple. But
Bohemian Rhapsody fans.
Yeah. This one is called Lightning, and it's a smaller connector. And, you know, it's been many years since Apple changed the connector on the phone. They had to do this to get the phone thinner. They had to do this to make the phone faster so that when you sync it and it works with all these new accessories. The problem is twofold. First off, you're going to need all new accessories or an adapter. The adapter is $30. But here's the deal. You're going to get the adapter for your accessories. Not only do you need a couple of them, because think about it. You got a charger in the car, a dock by your bedside, a charger at the office. You're going to get 3 of these things. That's you know, $90 right there. You're going to use them for about a week, and you're going to go, this is the ugliest implementation I've ever seen. Who wants to have a cable plugged into another cable plugged into your phone?
Right.
No one. So the next thing you're going to do is say, all right, fine, I'm going to buy all new accessories. I'm going to break down and get the new charger, the new dock for my phone. But the good news is this accessory is going to last us for a while, because now that they've built the next generation, it's going to last a lot longer for the iPhone. But and here's the other thing. It goes in either way. So when you put the cable in, there's no one way. I don't know about USB cables. You plug them in. It's like, oh, I'm plugging it upside down. You got to flip it over and try to plug it in. This one goes in either way, which is really nice.
It's just amazing. I mean, Apple is already the most valuable company in the world. I think they just passed $700 a share the other day. They couldn't make money any faster than they are. I read one article that said that they're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars just on selling the adapters and the new cables to people.
Absolutely. No matter how little the adapter costs them to make, for some reason, every adapter at Apple costs $29. I don't know what to do with that, but that's the way they price them. And here's the thing about this company. They make profit hand over fist. You've got a company like Amazon. I don't know about you, but I'm getting the Amazon UPS guy at my house three times a week. He's delivering me a ton of stuff. But Amazon's not making the profit that Apple is. When Apple sells these phones, they're making a nice spread on the profit between the phone and how much they cost these,
sure,
these parts out for. So
all
Apple's
right.
just making a ton of money. They continue to just keep kicking butt.
In our remaining moment here, Rich, and we're very appreciative of you coming on today. We know how busy you are this week. I have to ask, what's the availability going to be like? We heard that they're several weeks out in pre-ordering on the website. What are my chances if I go down to a Best Buy or someplace on Friday? How hard is it going to be to actually buy an iPhone 5 this weekend?
That's a good question. You never really know with Apple because, of course, they're going to sell out on the pre-orders because they want to make that next headline. This weekend, you're going to see Friday, the lines at the stores. I would say this weekend might be a little tough, like if you go into the stores, but maybe by next weekend we'll see some more supply. But it's a catch-22 because Apple definitely wants to make that supply tight so that they have the lines and they get all the hype and the media buzz about it. But the reality is, look, Apple wants to make these phones. They want to sell these phones. So if you want an iPhone 5, you will be able to get your hands on it. It could just be a matter of time.
And can't they just get like 100,000 more little Chinese kids into that suicide factory to start cranking them out?
Well, there's only so many people in China that can make these things. So yeah. they've got to keep having babies over there. And
keep up with Rich on Twitter, at Rich DeMuro. That's DEMURO. And the website is richdemuro.com from KTLA Channel 5. Rich, great to have you on today, man. Thank you.
Great to be on.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday at 106.7 KROQ. Our friend Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction joins us next hour. Right now, though, how about Anthony Jeselnik in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, performing at the Brea Improv. He's going to be there tomorrow night and Friday and Saturday. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for getting the name right. I appreciate that. First try.
Oh, really? Is that a difficult name for some people? Because it's pronounced exactly the same way it's spelled, I think.
Yeah, it should be. That's what I say. But people are idiots.
What do they? How do they murder it? Do they Jeselnik? What do they say to you?
I get Jeselnik a lot. I think people are kind of they go dyslexic on the last couple letters, or Jeselnik, I get, and then they act like it's my fault that they can't pronounce it. So I appreciate the effort.
Well, I think I've been seeing you for a long time on the roasts and your specials and things like that. So I guess maybe I've just been exposed to it and am used to it. But I've been fascinated to have you on for a number of reasons. First of all, and I don't mean this in a gay way, you're a super good-looking dude. And how does a super good-looking dude end up in comedy? Because I think the reason why Louis C.K. and Jeff Ross and those guys go into comedy is because they need something. They got to come up with something that'll get the girls to look at them. But a guy like you, why aren't you playing sports or something?
Well, I agree with you that, you know, both Jeff and Louis are very ugly people. And I think I could have done some other things. You know, I could have been a model. You know,
sure.
I could have been like a famous actor who was just famous for being attractive. But
sure.
I just always loved comedy. And kind of like when I got into it, the challenge of being like a funny person who was also good looking. I sound like the biggest conceited
you
jerk
really
while
do.
Talking about this. But it was hard to do. So I think that's why I kind of got to do a fun persona and be kind of like a villain on stage, was just to kind of mess with people.
So now all other guys must hate you because now you're getting the chicks for being a good looking dude. You're also getting the chicks for being the life of the party and stuff, right?
So. Oh, yeah. I've got so many different ways to get chicks, you know, and I really am. I'm always the life of the party. Always throwing my dead baby jokes around to get the party started. Yeah,
let's talk about your brand of comedy for folks who haven't heard you. You are very big in the dead babies. You're you dabble in incest a little bit.
Of course.
Rape.
All the biggies, essentially.
Yeah, anything murder. People don't want to hear jokes about, I've got several jokes about it. I think it's just the most fun way to go about it. You know, make people uncomfortable and get the biggest laughs that way.
So if somebody's coming to your show and they're already, you know, God forbid, they're battling cancer right now, you can make sure that they'll feel worse when they leave, right? By bringing on your cancer chunk.
I like to think I make them feel better. You know, I get a lot of people who like, the people who get upset are people who aren't really experiencing the things that I'm talking about. Like people who don't have cancer get mad about cancer. Like on the last roast, the Roseanne roast, mm-hmm. I had a joke about John Ritter being dead. And people got really mad at me about that. And then Jeff Ross actually told me that he met John Ritter's widow. And her daughter, who said, tell Anthony, we've never met him, but tell him that we love that joke. So people who are like going through that, like I help those people. I just don't help everybody.
Right. But I know exactly what you're talking about because it's the people who aren't John Ritter's family who think John Ritter's family are going to be offended. They're the ones who are mad at you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
You grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
That's right. That's right.
Regular family growing up? Any tragedy or drama in your life as a young man?
No, we had a very happy family until they were killed in a fire. But before that, everything was great. No, my parents are still together. You know, I'm the oldest of five kids, three sisters and a brother. They're all doing great. Yeah, normal family.
Funny? Where's your family funny?
Not really.
Really?
I was the funny one.
You're the only one?
Yeah. They could be funny, but they aren't really. Not at all. Yeah.
Okay.
I was the one who kind of reached out. You know, I remember like being a kid and watching Saturday Night Live, and my parents like thought it was like gross and like they would say crude and rude a lot. Like that's crude and rude, and mm-hmm. that just like really attracted me as a kid. I was like, oh, I want to be that.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Whatever your
sure.
parents were against was big for me.
And what was your entry into comedy? How did it work for you? Was it open mics or what?
You know, I took a class. I came out to LA right after college. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I decided, well, what would my dream job be? And I thought I'd like to have a job where I just sat around a table, you know, just like this, like throwing out jokes with other funny people and be a joke writer. And someone said, well, if you want to do that, then why don't you get into stand-up because that'll help you get your humor out there. And I took a class and started doing open mics. And, you know, by the time I finally got that writing job on Jimmy Fallon a couple years ago, stand-up was going so well. And I thought, oh, I'd rather do this. You know, I don't have to answer to anybody.
So Fallon reached out to you, gave you that leg up, and then you instantly stabbed him in the back and left him.
Oh, yeah, right. Actually, not even in the back, right in the chest. I did it for a year, and I said, I'm out of here. I'm gonna overtake you someday. And now I've got my own show coming out in January.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're got a new Comedy Central show, right?
Yeah, yeah, coming out in January.
By the way, they are bringing it with Jeff Ross's The Burn, mm-hmm. which I think is the best, one of the best new shows of the year. I don't know how much you've had. Yeah, I know you've been on it, Anthony, but it's so funny, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them all. It's been, it's just a great show.
And then you've got a show, and I think your friend Amy Schumer's got a show coming out next year, too.
Yeah, Amy will have one coming out sometime in the spring. Yeah, she's
they're really doing some awesome stuff. Anthony Jeselnik is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow night, then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. How much do you play around Southern California?
Not that much. I'd like to do more. You know, I've been on the road all over the country and in the world lately. But now I'm in Brea. Then I go to San Diego and San Jose, so I get to kind of stay local for a little bit, which will be nice.
Tickets are just $20. You can get them through BreaImprov.com. Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. So five chances for you to see Anthony on stage. We want to talk about Australia and a bunch of other stuff with our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Congratulations to Corey Strickland from Stanton, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. Just won his way into the live at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock this Monday to see, oh, I don't know, Green Day performing live, plus a copy of the new album, Uno. Your chance to win is coming up. Hey, Anthony Jeselnik, how you doing?
Good, man.
You hanging in there?
Yes, I am.
Brea Improv on stage tomorrow night at 8, two shows Friday and Saturday. See Mr. Jeselnik for just $20 at BreaImprov.com. You on Twitter refer to yourself in your bio as a professional killer. I get that. Do you get a lot of hate for your tweets too, by the way? Or no. If people are following you, that's what they're hoping for. They're expecting that.
Yeah, people, it's almost like they expect too much from me. Like whenever someone dies now, like Steve Sable, the guy from NFL Films died, and they're like, where's your tweet about him? I'm like, I'm not going to talk about Steve Sable's death. That's crazy. I kind of like make fun of, there's always like an outpouring of like fake sympathy when someone dies on Twitter, and I'm kind of making fun of that. So I get a lot of like, I don't get so much hate, I get a lot of too soon, which is the dumbest thing I can ever hear. There's no such thing as too soon. Like, if you wait even a day or two, or like a week after something horrible happens and make a joke about it, it's too late. I worry about too late. Not
with
too
Twitter,
soon.
That is true. I mean, we've had that too soon debate often on the air because we don't really want to be hated. But with Twitter, you're right, because people just forget and move on. Exactly. You really got to be right on top of stuff.
Yeah, totally. And I love this. You try to hit that sweet spot where just like it carries. It's a lot of fun to do. I've only tweeted like 600 times or something.
I noticed you don't tweet. You're certainly not like 5 or 10 times a day like I see some people.
I wait till something horrible happens and then I make a
joke.
You're
just waiting.
Yeah.
And then pounce.
Here's a couple of your death tweets, Anthony. Michael Clark Duncan is the Ving Rhames of corpses. I think that one's very good.
Thank you.
One dead, zero wounded in Sherman Hemsley massacre. I like that.
Other
than that, how was the movie? I take it that was after Aurora, Colorado. See, that's not too soon,
afterwards, yeah.
Wow.
A couple hours.
Ouch.
Yeah.
How is it you have avoided the controversy that has hit Tosh and Dane Cook and others, where people in the comedy clubs have been offended or recorded the act on their iPhone and put it up on the internet, and all of a sudden there's big controversies. How have you avoided all that?
I think it's because I'm always like that. Like, I'm always talking about death and horrible things and tragedies, you know, that I'm not, like, Tosh, Dane Cook, you know, those guys are like your buddy, kind of. And they're kind of like that, they're like your friends. So when they say something really horrible, it's like it's almost like a betrayal in a certain way that people can view it that way. Whereas I'm never your friend. I'm not your coworker. You know, I'm always saying horrible things. So if people try to complain, it looks bad on them, like they don't get it. So I think I avoid it just by always doing it. You know, you can't get in trouble for a rape joke when you open with a rape joke.
Well,
you know
that's true, too.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Rodney King, the original Rihanna, another favorite of mine. What's it like? You mentioned that you've been traveling all over the world. Now you're back in Southern California, these dates in Brea. But is there a different sensibility in terms of appropriate humor around the world compared to what you get in the United States?
Not really. You know, I thought that there would be. You know, I thought going to like Ireland or going to Australia, they would have kind of more of a better sense of humor or be able to like take jokes better. I think American audiences can be very sensitive, but I think it's comedy fans versus non-comedy fans. Really, like you know, I had people walk out of my show in Australia crying my first show. They got so
what
upset.
What did you say?
I think it's my normal act.
They just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
they came in blind.
It's like if I do a festival. You know, if you come see me at Brea, people are there to see me. So it's like it's this communal, let's laugh at these horrible things together. But when I'm at like a festival, people have been outside drinking, watching music all day, and they come in and just sit. They want like a cool place to sit down, and they're getting me. It's gonna be tough.
They're gonna cry.
You know? Yeah. So people everywhere are pretty much the same. You know, I haven't found anyone. People are like, oh, if you go to the Midwest, do they not get it? I'm like, they get it. They totally get it. You know, it's just I'm for smart people. Not some demographic, you know.
I've always thought that that one big pothole that you could get yourself into around the world, though, is just that there's different celebrities, right? Is that they may not be that familiar with some of the people you talk about.
Well, I only talk about celebrities really on Twitter. All my act is very, you know, almost timeless. You know, I'm talking about family members or just friends. You know, I never really go into famous people or tragedies in my act. The one thing that can get tough is, like, if I like to make fun of the place where I am. You know, like, a lot of comics will make fun of, like, the nearby town. They'll be like, oh, at least you're not from blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I like to make fun of the town I'm in. It just seems, like, a little, like, ballsier.
It's more honest.
Exactly. And when I went to Australia and did that, they were furious.
Really?
Because I'm an American coming in and making fun of them, that it wasn't the same. They didn't get that joke. So I had to change my tune a little bit.
Yeah, you had to change your act.
Yeah, not change my act, but just I couldn't make fun of them the way that I wanted to, that I normally would, because they were just way too sensitive about an American coming in. Yeah. Yeah.
I get the impression, and we're lucky enough doing this job, Anthony, that we have a lot of comedians on. I'm sure a lot of friends of yours have been on this show over the years, and a lot of them are just miserable some bitches. Are you that way, too? Do you think you're basically an unhappy person, or is this a switch that you flip, and then you're in your regular life, things couldn't be going any better for you?
I am very happy in my life. I find that comedians who seem like really happy people on stage are miserable off stage, and people who seem like just total like monsters on stage are pretty well-balanced off, you know? And I understood that going in. You know, I kind of looked at comedy in the way that I looked at the history of comedy and realized that people who seem very therapeutic on stage didn't really seem like they were getting any better from that therapy. You know, that I thought, let's just be pure comedy and go after the toughest things I can, and I couldn't be happier.
Interesting. Yeah, there's so many different ways to do comedy. Who's your favorite comedian that's out now? Like, besides yourself, besides good-looking Anthony Jeselnik, who do you love?
You know, of course, I'm a big Amy Schumer fan.
She's incredible.
Great. Sarah Silverman is one of my favorites of all time. Stephen Wright is still, like, if I'm going to go old school, is one of my absolute favorites. Todd Glass is a guy that I love. The hardest I've ever laughed in my life was watching Todd Glass the first time. Just amazing.
You get hooked doing comedy. And are you a guy who couldn't imagine doing anything else? I mean, like, this is your love. If you couldn't do something where you were funny, would you be miserable?
No, I don't think so. I kind of look at, like, what Steve Martin went through. You know, Steve Martin was, like, the best comedian in the world for a while and then went off and did movies and writes books. That I could see myself doing something like that someday. Just there's certain things I love about it. There's certain things I hate. You know, Steve Martin said he quit because of the Late Show Friday. You know, he'd do a whole weekend, and that Late Show Friday where everyone's drunk and tired from the work week, he hated it. And I could see walking away at some point, but that's far off in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to make your millions first, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
And learn how to play the banjo. Apparently, that's where it's going.
Oh, my God.
Brea Improv, it's going to be tomorrow night at 8, then two shows, including that late drunk show on Friday night, 8 and 10 on Friday, and then 7 and 9 on Saturday. Tickets are available for just $20, Brea Improv. So when's the TV show, before we let you go, when's the TV show? January in Comedy Central?
Yeah, end of January, I'll be premiering after the season premiere of Tosh. I believe it might be the 29th or something, but I'm not exactly sure, but I'll be on at 10:30 right after Tosh.
And what's the format of the show going to be? What's it going to be like?
It's going to be kind of like, I would say, my version of Tosh, kind of. You know, I'm going to be talking about kind of the stories that you guys would talk about. You know, the fun stories that people would email each other rather than the presidential election and things like that. I just don't care about stuff like that. But if an alligator eats a kid, I'm all over that. You know, that's where I live.
Well, what's there not to like about that? That's everything you look for, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I hope we get a chance to talk to you before you debut back on the TV on Comedy Central.
Definitely. I'd love to come back.
Love to have you back in. AnthonyJeselnik.com, and you should definitely follow him on Twitter at AnthonyJeselnik, and go see him on stage at the Brea Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I think we're done. One of Southern California's all-time greatest bands, Jane's Addiction, is playing October 27th. We'll tell you how you can get... Oh, sounds like Rob's done. Tell you how you can get those tickets. And we'll talk to guitarist Dave Navarro coming up right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Then, of course, we got tickets for you to see Green Day at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock also next hour. Time for the Showbiz Beatdown. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of tickets. Saturday. For those folks who listen to us in the deep San Fernando Valley, or perhaps you live out there in Ventura County, we are bringing Hollywood Babylon to you, people. Kevin Smith and I are traveling to the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills Saturday night. We're going to be doing the show there, Hollywood Babylon, which is our, which really is just biting the hand that feeds us. It's just us taking on Hollywood and making fun of our betters. And we do it, and Kevin is usually centered with an herbal medication of his choice, and I am usually liquored up to the gills, and we get raunchy and occasionally funny. And if you'd like to come see the show, go to canyonclub.net. That's where you can find all the details and buy your tickets there, and it's going to be a fun time this Saturday.
It's Friday.
Saturday would actually be the proper day, but I appreciate your support.
Sunday!
Now, once again, you're dancing around it, but actually, Saturday would be the day of the event. Saturday. Pepsi has kicked off its global partnership with all of its advertising with Michael Jackson today. Congratulations, Michael. I'm glad to see you're back working again after a short hiatas.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
Mr. Jackson has been dead for a number of years now.
What?
I'm not sure.
How's he making commercials for Pepsi?
Well, why don't you tell us?
Apparently, the first thing that has been released is a 15-second ad with a soundtrack featuring a remix of a song by Afrojack, the Dutch music producer, featuring various images of Michael taken from his music videos, including Smooth Criminal, Man in the Mirror. It's all a kickoff to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Bad and also to sell Pepsi. This is my favorite part. It's part of Pepsi's global music-themed campaign, advertising campaign, according to Marketing Week, called Live for Now.
Ooh,
Live for Now.
Unfortunately named.
The guy who's the face of the Live for Now campaign is dead for now.
That's a terrible idea.
And probably forever.
Probably.
Craziness. From people who are dead to people who are on their way. Amanda Bynes in the news. Locked herself in a dressing room at a West Hollywood boutique on Monday. For 2 hours. Barricaded herself inside a dressing room for 2 hours
The poor employee who was waiting on her had to call in another employee because she was scared to death. She was ODing or losing her mind. They keep hearing loud clanging sounds coming from inside the dressing room. When the door opened, Amanda drove out in a Model T Ford she had built inside the dressing room, and then she hit somebody. No, she came out with a pair of stilettos, sunglasses, and a bikini top, bought them, and left after 2 hours inside a dressing room.
What did she do in there?
I can only imagine. But I would bring in a black light and take a good hard look if I was in there. Not to be outdone, her arch rival, Lindsay Lohan, who is desperately trying to maintain her title of champion hot mess of Hollywood, she hit a pedestrian in New York City yesterday. Actually, early this morning. Lindsay was pulling in to park her Porsche Cayenne, that's the big SUV Porsche, at the Dream Hotel in New York City, when, apparently at a very low speed, she allegedly hit the knee of a pedestrian. That was shortly after midnight. Then this morning around 2:30 a.m., when Lindsay came outside, police were there waiting for her. Someone had called the police, and she was arrested for leaving the scene of an accident. She was booked and released with a desk appearance ticket, meaning that she didn't have to pay the bail before she was released. According to sources to TMZ.com, alcohol was not involved.
She's just a terrible driver.
I believe it, because it's midnight. She hit somebody. She's leaving the hotel at 2:30. She's leaving to get her drink on at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
in New York City.
Right.
She wasn't loaded before she got there. So here's the thing. It sounds like it was a minor event. The guy did go to the hospital. No word on the
I mean, is it a
injuries.
Hit and run because she didn't get out and talk to him?
It's a hit and run because she left the scene of the accident.
Before
he
the
was
police
hit.
Arrived.
She should have stayed there, called the police. They should have arrived and be able to assess the situation. By her leaving after he was struck, that is leaving the scene of an accident, which is against the law. This is absolutely something that could trigger a probation violation in her case, because one of the conditions of her probation is she must obey all laws, and that includes hitting guys in the knee with an SUV. So they're so picky.
Hot mess.
They're so picky. Yes. Beer mug. Sad news. Steve Sable, if you're an NFL film fan like I am, he was the brains behind NFL Films, passed away yesterday at his home in Moorestown, New Jersey. He was just 69 years old, passed away of brain cancer. That's a bad way to go. He was the man who gave us the slow-mo in NFL Films, the big announcer. John Facenda was the voice. Harry Caris.
He started miking coaches and players, too, right?
Absolutely. He would get all the sideline footage. He would go and take his crew to major NFL stadiums around the country, and they would shoot their own footage. They wouldn't depend on the video playback that television had. They would shoot actual high-quality filmed versions of the games. He was the first guy to ever do it, to ever think of it. It was genius stuff. And I knew Steve a little bit. I knew his family better. My sister actually worked for him for a short period of time. She used to shoot the Eagles games for him. And he was a great guy and loved the sport and helped NFL grow to be the most popular sport in America. So he will be missed. Good stuff.
Boy, they showed some great footage remembering him on the NFL Network yesterday.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Well, without him, there is no NFL Network, you know?
He created
a brand new cottage industry of shooting football games as if they were dramas. He showed you the drama of the game from the inside out by the way he shot the stuff and put it together and edited it together in the packages. I mean, it's just remarkable stuff. We're spoiled now with all the coverage on the internet and NFL Network and ESPN. I mean, this is before any of that. This guy was capturing the game like no one else had, and it really was spectacular. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Lipton is 86 years old today. Jeremy Irons is 64. Sherry O'Terry, Saturday Night Live, of course, 50 years old. Jimmy Fallon turns 38. Danielle Panabaker celebrates her 25th birthday. Katrina Bowden is 24 years old. And Adam West.
A little bit softer,
a little bit softer now.
Adam West. Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yes! 1,000 times yes! How many times do I have to say yes?
How old is that penis today, Ralph?
82 years old.
And you still want to see
Mayor
it, right?
Mayor of Quahog, and of course, the original Batman.
He is celebrating his birthday today, and much love to you, Adam.
Adam West.
Sometimes I just imagine him whispering that in my ear.
Pure West.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Slightly stupid. With two O's, that's top of the world here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Wednesday. One of your last chances, I'm guessing, to see Jane's Addiction for a while as they are wrapping up their Great Escape Artist Tour, October the 27th at the Wiltern. Our friend Dave Navarro joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. Haven't been a while since we talked to Dave. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Great to talk to you. Jane's Addiction wrapping up another tour. Who would have, 10 years ago, who would have ever thought in 2012 you guys would be out there getting it done all over this great land of ours, right?
Probably not us, for sure, for starters. But, yeah, October 27th at the Wiltern, that's Halloween weekend. And you guys have been really great. You guys are doing a presale for us on your website. And that,
yes, K-Rock Street Team presale is going to be tomorrow at 10 a.m., so that's your first chance. If you're a K-Rock Street Team member, of course, it's free to register and enter at krock.com, so you get a chance to buy them before they go on sale to the public. That's tomorrow at 10, and then the on-sale Friday is going to be at 10 o'clock, and that's whatever tickets are left. Why play a place as small as the Wiltern? Is it fun for you guys to just get all intimate with the fans some nights for Jane's Addiction shows?
This tour has been, it's the Theater of the Escapist Tour, and we've been in basically theater-sized venues, and production is really, it's somewhat immersive in the sense that it kind of carries throughout the venue, like in the foyer, in the audience, in the stage, and we've just found that the theater setting probably serves it best, and it's just makes for a better show.
Yeah, and you guys have always been, great visually, and obviously Perry is so theatrical, and you are too with the crazy stuff you're wearing and doing on stage. It must be it does kind of make sense, I guess, to do it in a venue like that where everybody can get close and personal.
Yeah, and it is like you said, it's an intimate situation, and we've done a lot of big stages where we're what seems to be miles away from the audience, and it's really disconnected for us. And so, like, the more within the element of the venue we can be, the better.
How's everybody getting along now at the end of a long tour?
Actually, great. I mean, we've been together now almost as long as we ever were. I mean, this is one of the believe it or not. I mean, this is like we're closing in on just as long as the original run, and we're having a blast, man. We're looking forward to making another record, and we're kind of in this for the long haul.
That's so great to hear, because here's the thing about Jane's. Once you guys got together, we all knew that it was, temporary, that you guys were going to get together, do a few shows or whatever. We thought you wouldn't even make a record. Then you made a record, and we thought, that's cool, we'll get a tour out of you. And then we thought you guys would vanish into the ether again. But you're hanging around, and it sounds like it's inspiring everybody, and you want to keep doing it, which is such great news.
Yeah, it really is. I appreciate that. We're just, realizing that it's a lot better for us to be working in this element, in this environment, than to go off and do other stuff on our own. I mean, we all, Perry and I especially, do a bunch of different things, outside of Jane's. And I think that keeps us really inspired to return to Jane's.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, we didn't really have time to take on other projects. And now, technology in the world is such that it allows us to do whatever we want. It's kind of an amazing time.
How are you doing? How are you feeling personally these days, Dave?
No, really good. We just wrapped up the tour, and I took a little vacation in New York, so that's where I am now. And just kind of kicking around New York. I'm loving it.
What's better than New York in the fall, right?
It's really amazing right now. The weather is absolutely beautiful, and I'm not one for the daytime.
No, you're a known vampire.
Yeah, I'm a known vampire, but I got to say, there's something about this time of year out here that's the most tolerable daytime that I can think of.
Yeah, autumn in New York. Now, I see just briefly before we let you go, and again, this is the voice of our friend Dave Navarro here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Jane's Addiction at the Wiltern, October 27th. K-Rock Street Team presale is tomorrow at 10, public on sale Friday at 10. You can get all the details at krock.com. I hear that you do have some new solo album plans. In your head, you already have mapped out maybe even a couple of records that you're going to make, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. I do a radio show, an online radio show, and I mentioned that to a caller, and somehow that got picked up. But yeah, that's when there's downtime from James, and like like we're saying, we're wrapping up the tour. I want to work on a couple of different records, and my tastes vary so much. I just figured I would go with two different, complete different genres. So that's something I have mapped out for sure.
Meaning something could be like a rock and roll band album and something else could be more like a experimental jazz thing or something like that, or what?
It could be. It's not going to be, but what it's probably going to be. I as a guitar player, I've always wanted to do the self-indulgent, solo guitar player record. But of course, I still love songwritings and songs and storytelling. So one's going to be songs, and the other is going to be just guitar music.
The other is going to be just guitar, something that's so self-indulgent it probably shouldn't be released to the public.
Definitely should not be released.
All right.
I'm going to make it available anyway.
Sure, why the hell not? Let me ask you one more thing. We saw something. In fact, I think we even tried to get you on the phone like a month ago or something. We saw something that you were doing that fascinated us, Dave, and it involves meat hooks.
Oh, you're talking about suspension. Yeah.
Yes. Are you really into that?
Yeah, that's really a special thing. I've been around the process and people who've been suspending for a lot. For your listeners who don't know, it's basically piercing through the skin and then hanging, essentially. And it's very difficult to explain to people who don't do it, but there's something really peaceful about it.
How is it not just like torture? How is it not exactly what you would do to somebody in Abu Ghraib? I mean, or Guantanamo. I mean, seriously, how is that not terrifying and incredibly painful?
Because the endorphins in your body kind of kick in to a degree where the pain is manageable. And then really, the best thing best way I can explain it is that once suspended, your mind kind of becomes a still lake, and it's actually really a peaceful process, and it's one of the only ways that I've found that I can shut my brain off without doing tons of drugs. Which
else to make the pain manageable is not to put hooks through your skin.
You know, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
How far are you suspended off the ground?
I guess a couple of feet. Although, when this last year with Jane's Addiction, we had two female suspension artists, Miss Crash and Samar, and they were hanging maybe 50 feet above the stage on either side of the band. And those are the real heroes. I mean, those two have been doing it for years and years and years, and certainly were inspiring to me. And our buddy Steve Truitt is the guy who suspends them, hangs them, and hoists them up like that.
Unbelievable. So, when you did it or do it, how many hooks do they use?
The first couple of times we used four, and then moved it down to two.
And how long do you hang for?
6 or 7 hours.
Oh, my God.
No. Like 10, 15 minutes.
Dave.
That isn't good for you.
What's going on,
okay,
dude?
Okay, well, now I feel better.
10 to 15 minutes. And this is something you really, you said it gives you peace. It makes you feel like forget your cares and just relax and just zone. And
yeah,
it's something you feel better after doing.
You know, a lot of people, it's an interesting subject. A lot of people get different things out of it. Some people find a real spiritual quality to it. Others just want to walk through the fear of doing it, much like, much like extreme sports or tattoos or whatever.
Right.
And other people just find like a calming effect. And some people find a real natural high because, let's face it, your body's flipping out and shooting all kinds of endorphins everywhere.
Yeah.
And, for the next week or so, you're kind of in this weird, I don't want to say spiritual, but just kind of a peaceful mindset, which is pretty great. So
I wonder if the reaction that you're describing is because, and you may have nodded to this, is that you have an addictive personality and you need something going on in your brain that's exciting, that releases chemicals or whatever, and this is a way that you found to do it that is not ultimately detrimental to your health.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll, you know, I'm not doing this every day. I mean, right. that's the thing. Is
of course, that would be crazy.
The girls who were hanging with the band were doing it every day. I mean, you know, I'm certainly a novice in this area, but yeah, I mean, these people do some pretty amazing things with their bodies, and it just was fascinating to me. So my initial attempt at it was just because it was fascinating, and I wanted to give it a try. And then I had no idea that there was going to be any kind of physical or spiritual or mental payoff to it.
And, hey, that's why you do half the stuff you do, is you don't know what's going to happen, and that's kind of the thrill. I mean, look, no one can say Dave Navarro is not getting the most out of living life.
No, that's for sure. I've been pretty blessed. I appreciate that.
Jane's Addiction at the Wiltern, final show of the tour supporting the Great Escape artist. It's going to be awesome, and you know they're going to blow out all the stops for the hometown crowd. Saturday night, October 27th. Tickets go on sale for the K-Rock Street Team members tomorrow at 10. Public on sale is Friday. Follow Dave on Twitter at Dave Navarro and, of course, janesaddiction.com. Man, it's always interesting to catch up with you, dude. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what? I just want to say thanks for just always supporting us over the years, and thanks for the pre-sale thing. This is, you know, it's going to be a great night, and we owe you guys a lot. Thank you so much.
We couldn't love you anymore, dude. Have a great one. Bye-bye. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. As you know, all this week, we are hooking you up to join us on Monday live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Green Day. We've been giving you a chance to just call in. Now we're going to give you a chance to earn it. If you are a Green Day fan, we want to hear from you right now. We got a game that you can play coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. It is not going to be an easy game. That's the only thing I'll tell you about that. It will not be easy. Your chance to win coming up here in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's take a look at some email. We're getting a lot of calls on a lot of emails on a lot of topics that we have been discussing here on the Kevin and Bean Show recently. A lot of times people have follow-up on things that they've heard us do on the air.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, here's one. Teresa, who has emailed us, talking about, Ralph, you remember the topic we were doing on pity sex a couple of days ago?
Yeah, sure.
And Lisa, of course, has been kind enough to do some pity sex on a number of occasions.
Yeah, all of us here in the studio, actually. Yeah.
Teresa says, I can't call in because I'm at my boring desk job, but for me, a lot of the pity sex came from a guy takes you out, buys you a meal, puts some time and effort to you. After a date or two, it's the least you can do. Putting out is always a choice, ladies. It's your body, blah, 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 but stop it being so stingy with all the sex. If you're uncomfortable with pity sex, then how about at least giving the man a handy? Make the world a less sexually frustrated place.
That's not pity sex. That's obligation, ladies.
Thank you.
We
Thank
buy you a
you,
meal. That's a contract.
Here's a follow-up that shocked me, basically. We were doing that story, you recall, about the things that are being banned in Russia. Remember they're trying to clean up television, the cartoons?
And, mm-hmm.
They talked about how they can't show the movie Pretty Woman over there anymore.
Right.
And we were saying, who's going to see Pretty Woman and go into prostitution? That was our complaint, right?
Yes.
Hey, Bean, Paul, one of our Portland podcast listeners, writes in, big fan of the show. I work with homeless youth in the city, caring for them and aiding their return to society. Many of my kids are trafficked into street prostitution, underage, and those of age in the city. I was listening to the bit about the Russians banning movies, and I thought you guys should know that Pretty Women is still being used by pimps as a way to lure women and girls to the trade. It seems weird after all those years, but girls who are abused and broken fall for it all the time.
No,
is that a surprise to you?
Very much.
Don't take this as me attacking you guys. I love the show. The bit was great. In my line of work, I see a lot of abuse and stuff. Your show makes me laugh every day. I just thought you guys should know the info. P.S. Please fire beer mug, says Paul.
Sure.
What?
Working on it.
Here's someone who wonders why, dear Katie writes in, dear Bean, I just had to point out that you were much more skeptical of Jesse Ventura when the governor was on and his idea of eliminating political parties than you were of that girl who claimed to have been abducted by aliens. I mean, really, which one is less likely? P.S. Please fire beer mug Katie Redondo Beach.
Come on, really?
Ralph, here's one that is addressed to you, and I wanted your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Sue writes in, I thought you guys would appreciate this. My department at work had a team-building event on Thursday last week. One of the fun things we decided to do was play softball. I was trying to recruit the 20-somethings to play, and you know what they all told me? They had never played softball before. You know why? Because of freaking soccer. What is wrong with America? How can these guys not know how to play softball? Soccer is what's wrong with the world. I'm just saying, oh, yes, would you please fire a beer mug?
Oh, come on. You got it. Soccer's ruining the world.
Interesting.
I've said it for some time.
I guess that makes sense that a lot of people grow up and that's the only sport they ever play is soccer, right?
Well, if they have abusive parents, yes.
Dear Kevin and Bean, we'll call him Mike, who writes in. He asked that his real name not be used.
What's his real name?
Dylan. Oh, okay. I couldn't call in when you guys were talking about rock bottom stories because I listen at work. About 7 years ago, I was homeless on meth. I hadn't showered in about a week. So I went to a Marriott Inn and began checking doors on one of the floors until one opened. So I guess just randomly, he's going up and down looking for a door that'll open. I went in and I took a shower while people were talking in the main room.
Oh, when God.
I got out, there were a man and woman standing there, and they gave me $10 to be on my way. I don't expect this to be read on air, but please don't use my name if you happen to do that, says Mike. At my worst on meth, I was still in better shape than Beer Mug.
Well, sure. That's why we're trying to fire him.
Imagine how crazy that would be, though, if you got a guy who comes into your hotel room and just starts taking a shower while you're there.
Does he say he bottomed out at that point and he got help after that? Was that the end for him?
You know, he doesn't mention that, but my guess is that's why he wrote to us about his rock bottom
moment.
Crazy. Maybe that was his turnaround. Michael writes in, I'd like to see a picture of Lisa Mae's jam box and maybe that speaker thing she's talking about as well.
Zing!
When is Beer Mug's last day?
Oh, come on.
Here's a couple on grand romantic gestures that we were doing yesterday. You tell me if this is cool or not. Charles writes in, I got a tattoo on my chest that says, will you marry me?
Oh.
No.
And he sent a photo. He sent a picture of it. Is that, I mean, that seems like you get the initial thrill of that moment where she sees the tattoo, but then what's the rest of your life like walking around with a will you marry me tattoo on?
Yeah, no woman should ever marry a man who has that tattooed on his chest because he's a mental case.
It's just poor judgment, right?
Yeah.
And that's Charles. And then one more. I was proposing to my wife by taking her to her favorite quiet place overlooking North Orange County at night. I was giving her the ring, the bouquet of lilies, her favorite flower. I picked her up from work, and I said I was taking her someplace special. She said, where are we going? I said, it's a surprise. She threw a big fit and said, no, I need to know where we're going. I finally gave in, and I told her where we were going, and then she freaked out and told me we can't go there because her friend was there the week before and was attacked by some bums. So I turned around and drove her home. I ended up proposing to her while she was in her PJs eating Taco Bell on the living room floor. We've been married 7 years. Please fire Beer Mug.
It's getting ridiculous.
That's spectacular.
So that was not the hilarious romantic gesture that he was hoping for, but it seemed like it worked out for him anyway. Thanks, John. You can email any of us. All of our email addresses are at krock.com. If you want to look it up on the Kevin and Bean page, you can also get to us at Twitter, at Kevin and Bean. There's a Kevin and Bean Facebook page as well. And we'll take a quick break and come back and give you tickets to see Green Day in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Talking all this week about the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. This Monday, the lads in Green Day will be joining us. They'll be playing live for you. Stryker will be moderating. You can see the whole thing on the webcast starting at 3 o'clock at krock.com this Monday afternoon. How'd you like to be there in person? We're going to give you a chance right now with The Hardest Game in the World Part 2.
It's The Hardest Game in the World 2. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So, it's been a while since we played this game. Refresh my memory. It is easy to win or not so much?
It is the hardest game in the world to Die Harder Electric Boogaloo.
All right. You said it's different from the hardest game in the world where we use words. What are we going to be listening to today here to win the Green Day tickets?
Usually, we play titles of songs or band names backwards, and you need to identify them. Now, we'll be playing actual songs backwards.
Oh, that doesn't sound easy at all.
It's hard!
All right, everyone who correctly identifies what Green Day song they're listening to backwards goes into the drawing. Lisa, will you hook us up at the end of this and let us know who wins their way into the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock?
You bet.
Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Andrew. He's a property manager.
Hey, Andrew. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, good luck to you. You're going to be hearing a Green Day song backwards. We can only play it once. So listen closely. Tell us what song this is.
Gangnam Style.
What do you think? It's not Gangnam Style. You're not allowed to guess, Mr. Dowsman. This is up to Andrew here.
I'm going to say American Idiot.
Yes! Well done, my friend. You are in the drawing. Nice job. Who's up next?
Next up is Tommy. He's an interactive designer. At least that's what he tells his parents.
That's not even a real job, Tommy. That sounds made up.
No, it's a great job. What are you talking about?
Okay.
All right, listen up. Here's your Green Day song, Backwards.
Gangnam Style.
Nope, not Gangnam Style, Mr. Announcement. Please let Tommy do the answers here.
Sorry.
AC/DC? Nice. That's the best guess ever. I hope you were just kidding.
Oh, totally. Is it Good Riddance?
It is Good Riddance. Well done. Unpredictable. Yeah, Green Day doesn't have a lot of ballads, so that one was a little easier than most, but congratulations,
we're
you are in the drawer.
Two for two!
This game is not at all hard, by the way, Mr. Announcer Man. You lied to us.
It wasn't hard for those guys, but what about for Chuck? Chuck, Bobuck, Banana, Fanta, Poe. He's up next.
Hi, Chuck. Good morning. Ready to play?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
All right, good luck. Listen up. That's annoying. All right,
what's hard?
What song is that, Chuck?
This is the hardest game in the world, too.
Yes.
I'm going to say Welcome to Paradise.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was Longview. Hey, you got nothing to be embarrassed about, Chuck. That was actually very, very difficult. Thank you for playing. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Gene. Gene's a teacher.
Hi, Gene. Hello. What do you teach?
Oh, I teach psychology.
Oh,
we could use you at this joint.
That's for sure. All right, you know how the game is played. You're up next. Good luck. Boy, it's a hard game, wow. Mr. Announcer Man.
This hard
that
game.
Was a hard one.
Two.
That's what she said. What's your answer?
Gene.
Yes, we know your name, but what's your answer? What song do you think it is?
I think it's the new one, Oh Love.
I think you're right. Unbelievable. Who saw Gene pulling that one out of his ass?
Not me, since he answered first with his own name.
Yes. I thought he was Kevining while he was talking to us on the phone. All right, we already have time for one more. Make it a good one, Mr. Announcer Man.
How about Luis? He's an EMT. Clear.
Louise, so far you got a lot of competition with Andrew, Tommy, and Gene. They're all in the drawing to win these tickets. We only have one pair to give, so good luck, okay?
All right,
thank you. What say you?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go with that Welcome to Paradise.
Is it Welcome to Paradise?
Yes!
This game is not hard.
It is hard. Shut up.
Andrew, Tommy, Gene, Lewis all identified their Green Day songs. There can only be one winner. Lisa, you ready to break some hearts here?
All right. I'm mixing them up really good. And our winner is Andrew.
Yay!
Andrew on line one. Give them to me, Birma. Give them to me. Andrew, you're going to be at K-Rock on Monday to see Green Day.
Sweet. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for playing. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Andrew is underwhelmed.
Thank you, Lisa. Ralph, you're the guy who's still watching Survivor every season, right?
Yeah.
Coming back tonight for its 25th go-round, if you can believe it.
Tell me. I'll be there.
And we're going to be talking to one of the contestants on Survivor Philippines. Oh, a name you might be familiar with if you're a baseball fan. Jeff Kent, the former second baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, went to the World Series for the Giants. He's one of the contestants. Did not enter as a celebrity, not a celebrity deal. He just entered as a regular dude.
It's not Celebrity Survivor. It's like when Jimmy Johnson from the Dallas Cowboys did it.
Yeah, fascinating. Really excited about talking to Mr. Kent. That's coming up the next half hour, plus a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup for you as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
People have been asking, hey, don't you guys know it's September 19th? What's going on with you guys? Why aren't you doing your thing you usually do? And I guess they're referring to Talk Like a Pirate Day, of course.
Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that until you brought it up earlier this morning.
Which we were big proponents on early on when no one was doing it. And then when everybody started talking like a pirate, our asses got chapped pretty quick. So we sort of eased off to Talk Like a Pirate Day, but some people still celebrate. And for those people, I wanted to give you the heads up that Krispy Kreme, the delicious donut shop, is celebrating Talk Like a Pirate Day thusly. If you go into any participating Krispy Kreme in Southern California and you talk like a pirate, you go, "Arr, give me a cup of coffee with sugar," then they will give you a free glazed donut.
Ahoy!
If you go in dressed like a pirate, this is for women or men, you get a free dozen donuts!
Great Neptune's man nipples!
All right, okay, that's enough of that. But I just want to give you a heads up. If you're celebrating, you get some free donuts. That's good, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you get some free donuts, give one to Lindsay Lohan, because she could probably use the boost. She was arrested this morning in New York City for tapping a pedestrian's knee with her SUV. She was pulling into a hotel where she was staying in downtown New York, and apparently she clipped a guy who was standing on the curb. She got out and went into the hotel, in essence leaving the scene of the accident. Police frown on that sort of behavior. Cops were called, and when she emerged from the hotel around 2:30 in the a.m., officers arrested her. She was booked for leaving the scene of an accident. It's just a misdemeanor. However, the bigger picture means that it could violate her probation. One of the conditions of that same said probation is that she must obey all laws. And so even without a conviction, Judge Stephanie Sautner here in L.A. could certainly haul Lindsay's butt into court and give her a hard time. So we'll have to wait and see. Take that, Amanda Bynes. Ha!
I wonder what the longest period of time is Lindsay Lohan has gone in the last 5 years without some sort of interaction with the police.
But it's not long.
Doesn't seem like it, does it? Nope. She cannot stay out of trouble for more than a couple months at a time.
You know, we love our lists here on the Showbiz Beat. Interesting one coming out of the UK today. It's the ultimate musical icon of the last 60 years list.
Why 60 years?
I'm guessing they're looking at the
Birth of Rock and Roll.
Birth of Rock and Roll, yeah.
All right.
It's NME.com, the musical website there. Started their poll in March with 60 nominees, and they have whittled it down to the top 10 as voted on by its readers.
Ryan Gosling.
And Ryan Gosling not on the list. 160,000 votes were cast by readers of NME. Just in time for the magazine's 60th birthday. I guess that gives us the reason why there's 60 years.
Now, what's their definition of an icon? What makes an icon?
Well, someone of iconic stature in the history of rock and roll. And these are all Brits, mind you. So you're not going to see Elvis Presley, for example, or anything like that. These are all British artists who personify the iconic status of British music.
Well, there can be no one at the top, but it's Sir Paul McCartney.
Now, these aren't all Brits. Now that I look at the list, I'm shocked.
They opened it up.
By looking at it, I thought for sure it must be Brits only, but there was one American on the list.
Okay.
Past 60 years, this list, you're gonna scream BS to some of the names. Let's start at the 10th and work our way to number one.
Okay.
And your guess of Sir Paul McCartney is incorrect, sir.
Really?
Ian Curtis of Joy Division, 10th on the list. See, the Brits are honked up when it comes to their music.
Well, no, they're going for influence in that
Noel
case.
Gallagher from Oasis was 9th. Yeah, Morrissey from the Smiths and his own solo career, 8th. 7th, Jimi Hendrix. There's an American.
Okay.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington.
There's two Americans actually on this list. 6th was Amy Winehouse. Come on. Really?
Really?
Icon? No.
Footnote. 60 Footnote,
years,
I say.
60 years icon? Ultimate Ridiculous. Musical icon?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She's 6th. I just told you, Rodney.
5th. No, that's absurd.
5th, Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain, 5th?
Yeah, he's an icon.
Definitely an icon. Okay.
Number 4. Who beat out Kurt Cobain on the list, I wonder? Oh, Alex Turner of Arctic Monkeys.
No.
Yeah.
No,
oh, sure.
No.
Sure. He's sandwiched right there in between David Bowie at number 3 and Kurt Cobain at number 5. Alex Turner
on?
Of Arctic Monkeys.
That's insane.
Look, I know that he and his band are way more popular in Britain than they are here, but still, this is just, they're the victim of, these guys are popular now, so they're high up in the all-time list. This is not a great historical perspective.
This is why anytime you ask regular people to vote in on any best of list, you get BS. This is why the People's Choice Awards are the worst awards in the world, because people are bad.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Bowie is 3rd, as I mentioned. Liam Gallagher of Oasis was 2nd on the list.
Oh, come on.
Come on, yourself!
Whoa.
Yeah, take that. At number 1...
So you're telling me all of these people, including the Arctic Monkey guy, are ahead of Paul McCartney, who's not in the top 10?
He's not in the top 10.
British icons of music?
Ultimate musical icon.
And by the way, I haven't heard any Led Zeppelin. I haven't heard any Who while we're talking about the Rolling Stones, while we're talking about the greatest, even British bands of all time. Who is it?
John Lennon. John Lennon, number one.
Well, it's hard to argue. Yeah! Hard to argue with that, but still.
So those Brits like their Arctic Monkeys, that's for sure.
No Chumbawamba, by the way, on the whole list?
No Chumba or Wumba. Neither
of
those guys
Chumba
made
and Wumba?
It. I have no idea, but I'm bitter. Today's celebrity birthdays. Katrina Bowden from 30 Rock and Prana 3DD. Still have not yet learned whether it's Bowden or Bowden, but I'm going with Bowden. She's 24 years old today. Danielle Panabaker from Friday the 13th, Piranha 3DD, also Shark. She was on that series. I dug her on that. 25
What happened
years old.
To Amy Winehouse?
We covered that. Jimmy Fallon's 38 years old today. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live turns 50. Jeremy Irons is 64. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actors Studio, is 86 years old. I never would have guessed.
Stunning.
And I thought he was about 65.
And guys who, by the way, who are much younger than their age, TV's Batman, and of course, Mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island, Adam West, celebrates his 82nd birthday today.
Adam West!
Yeah. I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Well, I didn't mean to humiliate you as a fisherman, Adam. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, steady, easy. Everything's going to be fine. I'm always a little bit nervous about congratulating our Green Day winners because Ralph seems to have like a bad history with a lot of our listeners.
No, it's not true. Not all of them, just some of them.
Aliceo Moya from Burbank.
That bastard.
Come on.
He still owes me money.
What's your problem with Aliceo?
He does not get tickets until he pays me back.
Well, he is going to be in the building on K-Rock if you want to shake him down then.
No, I'll be waiting. I'll be right here. You know where I am, Aliceo. Bring it on.
He just won tickets for the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Green Day, huge band, tiny little place. Stryker is moderating. You can see it through K-Rock.com live as it unfolds starting at around 3 p.m. Plus, you win a copy of the new album, Uno, your chance to win on the way here at K-Rock. Ralph is joining us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
It's Uno. Learn Spanish. Open up a blog. All right, before I get to the showbiz news, how about some more passes to what looks to be an incredible film? I have been looking forward to this since I saw the footage at Comic-Con back in July. It just looks amazing. Rian Johnson, genius writer-director, man who gave us Brick, if you saw that film. Boy, did I love that. He is once again reunited with Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Looper. Jogolev stars as a young Bruce Willis in this film. In the date 2072, the mob is using time travel technology to get rid of its enemies by sending them into the past 30 years, where an assassin waits, kills them, and disposes of the body. There's no evidence of any crime in 2072, where the mob is currently employing this technology. So it's a genius system to eliminate people you want to get rid of. But here's the problem. When you are one of these assassins, or loopers as they're known, when you outlive your usefulness, what do they do with you? Well, they send you into the past to get offed. So what happens?
Wait, they send you to kill yourself?
Yes. What happens when the mob wants to close the loop on Joseph Gordon-Levitt and sends back Joe's future self, played by Bruce Willis, and it's man against himself?
That seems unlikely.
It's awesome.
Wait. Hold on a second.
You don't get it.
But if you... I don't get it. No. If you kill yourself in the past, there is no future you.
Right. But if you kill... You're not supposed to. They come tied up in like a straitjacket with a hood on their head. And they just show up. And boom, the minute they show up into the past, you off them. So technically, you are ending your own life in the future. But you'll have, you know, another good 30 years. That's a guarantee.
So my brain hurts.
This young whippersnapper, Joe... take out old, craggy, world-weary Joe, knowing that in essence he's ending his own life, or you bet your ass he's trying to. He's trying to get rid of himself because the mob insists on it. That's how you stay a looper.
Too much information.
If he doesn't kill himself in the future, the mob will kill present-day Joe. How about that?
I gotcha.
So he has to do it to make right.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Yes.
How can I see this movie before it opens, Ralph?
I'm glad you asked me that. Bean Baxter, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Looper.
How far is the festival from
the Marriott.
It's not,
Desert,
it's not a festival. It's a screening of a movie, Dave. It's at the Sony Studios lot on September the 27th.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Well, no. The next day, Friday, September the 28th, is when the movie will be released. So that's when it gets going in your vernacular, David.
That's racist.
It's not. He's a cranky drunk who just keeps calling in. If you're on the internet today, you may want to check out the brand new viral ad for, which water is it? Smart Water. Smart Water it is. Jennifer Aniston, the face of Smart Water, has a hilarious new commercial that you can only find on the internet for now. It is very funny. It apparently is, what it proposes to be is security footage taken from security cameras in her home catching her out of the public eye. And it's so funny, she takes off her luxurious hair, and she's got like this bad, really ugly, brown, kinky, curly hair underneath it. She hangs up her hairdos all over the house, and she takes off her stomach Spanx, and her giant, pregnant stomach pops out. She's like, she's carrying triplets.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she already has two children, we find out, by looking at the security video of her home. One is an alien. She has an alien baby. And another of her sons... Her young, childish son looks suspiciously like Jimmy Kimmel in a bathing suit with water wings on, with floaties, desperately begging to go into her pool, which is filled, of course, entirely with Smart Water.
A lot of secrets behind the walls of Jennifer Aniston's house.
We had no idea the life she was living. Here's a little conversation between her and her young son.
Mom, can I go swimming?
Honey, please be a good boy. Go upstairs and take a nap.
I want to swim.
Listen, don't cry. And if you are a good boy, I'm going to play hide and seek with you later. I told you.
I don't want to hide. You always make me hide. I think you're ashamed of me.
Honey, that is not true. Now, please, before anybody sees you, would you get inside? And would you please take your little brother with you? Hurry. Come on, scoot.
Your brother's an alien.
Wow. What's
sounds
going on?
Just like Jimmy.
It does. It looks a lot like him, too. It's very strange. Amanda Bynes.
Guilty.
She's not been charged. Well, she has been charged with stuff. We'll find out Friday, I guess, whether she's guilty or not. But we know she's nuts. That much we know. She locked herself inside a dressing room in West Hollywood in a boutique there for about 2 hours.
They must have been debating, do we call the police?
Especially when they heard loud clanging sounds coming from inside the... the locked dressing room. Clanging sounds. What is she, a prospector? She's setting up camp there. She's going to make herself some beans and hot coffee. What's the clanging sound?
I don't know.
Pots and pans that she brought along?
Was she talking to herself or talking to other inanimate objects in the dressing room?
Not according to these accounts of the situation, but they were knocking on the door saying, you know, you've been in there for 2 hours. And she would scream back, I need more time. So the poor employee who was waiting on her called another employee to try to give her backup, and they just waited her out. And eventually, 2 hours later, she strolled out with a pair of stilettos, some sunglasses, and a bikini top that she paid for and was on her merry way.
So strange.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
I've seen women do some very nutty stuff, illogical things that a man would never do.
Her arch nemesis, Lindsay Lohan, also in the news. Lindsay was arrested for fleeing the scene of an accident early this morning when she allegedly clipped a pedestrian's knee while parking her Porsche Cayenne at a hotel in downtown New York City. Witnesses say the pedestrian was hit in the knee. The passengers got out of her SUV, looked at the car to see if there was any damage, and then went inside. When she came out about 2.5 hours later, police were there waiting for her and arrested her. Now, sources are saying... This is a late developing story that police have looked at the security cameras, and it does not appear as if the car actually makes contact with the guy's knee.
Really?
Interesting.
But they will have to investigate further. I'm speculating that Judge Stephanie Sautner here in L.A., who certainly could violate her probation, given the fact that she was even arrested on this charge, will wait to hear exactly what went down before she makes any further decisions. But could potentially be scary for Lindsay. She could go back to jail.
Yeah.
I want her and Amanda Bynes to live together in a reality show. That's what I want.
That is the only answer. Alessandra Ambrosio, one of Victoria's Secret's angels, is one of those freaky women. She had a baby 4 months ago. Gave birth to a baby boy named Noah. UK's Daily Mail newspaper has photos this morning on the internet of her heading into a yoga class with a stone-cold six-pack.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not. I couldn't believe these photos. 4 months ago, she had a baby. Now she could bounce a quarter off her stomach. That's hot.
She is not human.
No. Ugh.
These supermodels with their alien DNA, they're going to be the death of us all.
You need to put them someplace else.
Yeah, my house.
Yeah, that's fine round with me. Just round get them out of my sight.
Round them all up and put them in my backyard. And Sean White, I mentioned yesterday, he was a bit of a mess on Sunday night. He got loaded and destroyed his hotel room. He got, popped in Nashville for public intoxication and vandalism. Now, most celebrities will deny, will excuse, will shy away from this. Sean issued an apology on Facebook.
Not dehydration yesterday. And exhaustion?
Nope. He claimed he made unwise choices. And he apologized for any inconvenience it caused my family, friends, business partners, the hotel, and their guests.
Wow.
You're drunk.
So he cops to it that he was drunk and out of control, and I guess he's going to make restitutions. And, you know, we've got so many competition shows on television now. You got the American Idol. You got The Voice. By the way, it went up in the ratings. Still the most popular of all these shows. America's Got Talent, X Factor. Here's a competition show that Bean could actually compete in. It's for nerds.
How dare you?
It is called...
I'm not smart enough to be a nerd, by the way. So
they're looking for the next Steam star will be this new show. Okay. Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas is apparently behind it.
No.
He is trying to develop a show to be used to find the next Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg, someone who's going to move technology forward. Steam stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. So they'll have a competition-style reality show where nerds will compete against each other for a grand prize.
Yeah.
What
interesting.
What kinds of things will they do in competition?
Here is a sock and some steel wool. Build a house. Go.
You know, things like that. See how inventive they are.
I'm going to suck at this.
You're going on it.
I've got no skills.
You're going on it and you'll like it.
In any area at all.
But you are a nerd. You have lots of facts in your head. Not for a long time, but they're there for a while, and you can use them while you got them.
If you catch me at the right time with the right fact, I'm astonishing.
That's right. And it's always fun when Jon Stewart from The Daily Show and Bill O'Reilly from O'Reilly Factor go at each other. I love when they battle. Looks like they are doing it now for charity. They have announced a live debate between the two men.
Love it.
George Washington University on October the 6th. They will go head-to-head debating on... the upcoming presidential race.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a pay-per-view event.
I think I might pay for that.
That's what I'm saying. They're calling it the Rumble in the Air-Conditioned Auditorium.
Bang, 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 bang.
It's going to be streamed online as well as pay-per-view, and half the proceeds from the event will go to charity. So you can check that out. I'll give you more details as they get closer.
Cool.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actor Studio, is 86 years old. That's nuts. Comedian Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is 50. AJ Popoff from Lit is 39 years old today. Jimmy Fallon, comedian and talk show host, is 38. Jimmy Fallon, talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
His late night show is very successful.
Yep.
Can be very entertaining.
Yep.
Don't need to see him in any more of those commercials where he's giving half off money to babies.
Really seen him or play too many characters?
Pretending to be a cowboy giving back money or a fisherman or whatever. Don't need any more of that. The Italian pizza dough tosser guy. Don't need any more of that on my television. Danielle Panabaker is 25 years old. Katrina Bowden is 24 years old. Jeremy Irons, legendary British actor, is 64. Did you ever see Dead Ringers?
Yes.
Sure. That's a great creepy, movie. Creepy yes. film.
Great film.
And Adam West, TV's Batman.
Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West.
I'm almost there.
Adam West.
Stop it now. Stop it.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
I just have to go home if I want to do that. Open up my scrapbook. He is 82 years old today. Happy birthday to my hero and champion, Adam West. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Enjoyed it. We didn't get a chance to mention it today, but the phenomena that is Kevining continues. Have you seen the new batch of photos that Chip just put up in the gallery?
I've seen many of them.
Our little friend Brad Williams has done some Kevining. I believe he's on the he's standing on the bar at a strip club, if I'm not mistaken, in his photo.
Isn't he always?
Every Channel.
our beautiful friend from Channel 5, Allie McKay, did her caviting photo at Not Scary Farm. We're adding that one, too. Suzanne Marquez from CBS, entertainment reporter over there, has added her photo. From Blue Bloods, Greg Jabara has done a caviting photo
Greg.
For us.
Greg!
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. Lisa, you got a class at Pierce College to do some caviting when you were visiting this week?
KPCRadio.com.
We got listeners from Cambodia and so much more. They're coming in from all over the world. We, as I mentioned, forgot to mention it today, but Kevining the Gallery is growing ever stronger. You can go to kevinme.com and check it out, and please do send in your photo. And we are working behind the scenes on the Kevining dance video as well. What a show we have for you tomorrow. Check this out. First of all, John Bones Jones is going to be back on the program.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Had him in here about a month ago. He, yep. of course, preparing for UFC 152. We'll be talking to John. Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist himself, is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. Dr. Drew is going to be here tomorrow. Wow. The host of this year's Emmys, Jimmy Kimmel.
What?
Jennifer Aniston's son is going to be joining us tomorrow. And we got tickets for you to join us here at K-Rock for the Green Day show at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock, which is happening on Monday. So that is all coming up for you tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.